T1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Nate Puderbaugh, their sports update. According to Dave Wetzel and Peter Thamel of ESPN, Michigan is zeroing in on former Utah head coach Kyle Whittingham as their next head football coach. Whittingham stepped down earlier after 21 seasons at Utah. He led the U's to an almost 67% winning percentage in an unbeaten season in 2008. Afternoon football features some Big Ten teams. Northwestern takes on Central Michigan in the Game Above Sports Bowl at 1 o'clock, and Minnesota takes on New Mexico in the Rate Bowl at 4:30. The Nightcap sees Florida International take on UTSA at the Serve Pro First Responders Bowl. Despite Donovan Mitchell's 34-point effort, the Cavs fell to the Knicks on Christmas when Mitchell missed a game-ending three-pointer. The Cavs return to the court Saturday night to take on the Rockets in Houston. And the NHL continues its Christmas break today, but play resumes for most teams this weekend. The CBJ return home to Nationwide Arena Sunday when they take on the Islanders. Breaking sports news, what happens on the Fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
And here we go. Welcome back in to another edition of Rothman and Ice. I'm Matty Ice. TLC is back on the board doing his thing, and to my right, a man that's ready to give us some great innings again out of the bullpen is the one and only Dave Biddle. Bids, how you feeling today, my man? Happy Friday to you. What's going on?
Happy Friday to you, man. Yeah, Iceman, it was a good Christmas yesterday. I know you said you had a good Christmas as well, so Happy to be here for the next 3 hours. Looks like Kyle Whittingham might be the next coach up north.
Oh, yeah, we can definitely get into that. Yeah, my Christmas was chill, just how I like it. Went up to the rinse crib and, you know, woke up a little later than you usually do, so that's always nice, and crack open the presents, and then you're just... you're in pajamas all day. You know, you're eating all day, sitting on the couch all day, consume so much sports between the NFL and the NBA as well yesterday. It was a really good day. And I don't know how you feel. To me, Christmas Day is still the NBA's day. Like, I understand the NFL, they feel like they can take over any day in any territory in sports, and they're probably right in doing that. But with the way that I grew up, Bids, it's about the NBA on Christmas Day and games from noon to midnight like we had yesterday.
It used to be that way for me. Now it's more NFL now for me, and I still like that the NBA's on there. I love that we have wall-to-wall sports. A lot of people are like, well, can we just have a day where we just have family? It's like, we can do both. We do it pretty well on Thanksgiving. You know, but you're right. It was just the NBA for years, and now the NFL's taken over, and all three games were on streaming services yesterday, two on Netflix and one on Amazon.
Yeah.
And I was locked in just because... you know what, though? If I wasn't in my fantasy football finals, I probably wouldn't have cared as much.
There it is. Because the game against Dallas and Washington, they're just kind of out there for the vibes. Nothing really on the line for them. But you're right. Look, football will always be king. We always know that. But I just, man, just watching games in Madison Square Garden with all the celebrities there and all that stuff. And then you get KD and LeBron. Like, I'm not missing out on that. And that's why, Bids, I had to get a tablet so I can watch both now. Now I can do both on every single Christmas. And so, yeah, here's our lineup for today. 1:30. Ray Fittipaldo, he'll stop by. Big weekend for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They got a lot going on right now, so we'll check in with him on the whole DK Metcalf situation, what's going on with the former Buckeyes. So we'll talk to him at 1:30, and then our guy Joe DeLeon from A to Z Sports will join us to talk college football as well. Podcast reminder, you miss anything from our show, don't worry, you can always catch up. Wherever you get your podcast, all you have to do is type in Rothman and Ice. Everything we do from noon to 3 will be waiting there for you. Subscribe to the podcast as well. Quick nugget, but I want to mention before we get to Kyle Whittingham and the Michigan news. Tell you what, man, fun rivalry brewing in the NBA. I know a lot of people are really, hey, post-Christmas, I'll start locking in on the association.
Well, here we are.
This Spurs and OKC matchup, Bids.
Yes.
It's must-see TV now when these teams lock horns, because Wimby's always going to be fun to watch, but the core that they've built post-Greg Popovich is very fun. First and second in the West right there. They've beaten them 3 straight times. That being San Antonio's wiped out the champs, and the champs have only lost 5 games this year. Spurs are responsible for 3 of those. One in the NBA Cup, which doesn't count against their record, but they're 3-0 against OKC. So that was fun to watch. And then the nightcap was ridiculous with Nikola Jokic. I mean, this man is just built different. The first player in NBA history with a 55-point, 15-rebound, 15-assist game. He is the second in league history with a 50-point, 15-15 game in NBA history. Most points ever last night in overtime, with 18 points, and also already this year against the same team that he did that against last night, he had a 61-point, 10-rebound, 10-assist triple-double against Minnesota. This guy's unbelievable.
and I don't know if you agree with this, like everybody knows he's great. He's fantastic. Multiple time MVP, finals MVP. I still think he's a tad underrated. Does that make any sense at all?
No, I think I understand what you're saying because his style of play doesn't lead to highlights.
Yeah, he's not mentioned as one of like, he could be the greatest player of all time. Like nobody, and I don't think he is, but he should at least be in the discussion. Doing things that have never been done,
never
in the
been
NBA.
Done before.
And it's, you're right, it's such an unconventional game that he has, but he's so good. Yeah. And I feel like he, even though we all know he's great, I feel like he's a little underrated.
At the worst, he will go down as one of the best bigs of all time. So he'll enjoy or join some elite company when he hits the finish line of his NBA career. You touched on it. Some pretty interesting news in the college football world emerged this morning because Pete Thamel, Dan Wetzel over at ESPN reported that Michigan has locked in on Kyle Whittingham. He has emerged as their focus to be their next head coach after Sharon Moore. And so this is a guy that I've always had a lot of respect for. I mean, he was around at Utah for a very long time, was hired back in 2005, and you just watch his football teams get busy. There always seems to be that edge of toughness, and there also seems to be that edge of discipline, and it feels like that's a program right now that absolutely needs that. And I just want to hit you with this on the fly. Dan Wetzel just threw this out there. Michigan and Kyle Whittingham are continuing to progress towards a deal with finalization expected today. So by the time we get out of here, I don't think any of us should be surprised if Kyle Whittingham is named the next head coach up there at Michigan.
Yeah, and at first when I read this news this morning, I was thinking that just feels like a stopgap for them. I thought more about it. That actually might be a good situation for them. He's 66 years old. He's not going to be coaching forever, but I've heard a lot of people say, well, didn't he just retire at Utah? When he stepped away at Utah, he made it clear, I'm not retiring. They wanted to make the D.C. They didn't want to lose their D.C. Utah, so they promoted him to head coach. But Kyle was clear that I'm not retiring. So, Maddie, when I first heard this, I'm like, okay, that's a stopgap. And I was thinking, well, this actually could be good for them because they struck out on their top two candidates, Kalen DeBoer and Kenny Dillingham. And then there was names like Jeff Braun being floated. People were saying maybe Biff Poggi, which I never thought this would happen because I was told they're not going to have anybody from the Harbaugh era, which is why Jed Fish, I was told, was not going to be the coach. So I thought more about it. I'm like, this actually could be good for them because they need an adult in the room right now. Mm-hmm. And Whittingham is that. And he does a lot of things that just fits that program as far as like good offensive lines, a tough defense, you know, runs the ball. It could be good. Now, some of the things at Utah that he got criticized for late in his tenure was he didn't really embrace NIL, didn't really embrace the portal. And if you don't do those things, you don't have to love those things as a coach, but you have to embrace them or you're going to be left behind. So, but considering what was out there, considering the bad timing, even if he's there for 3 or 4 years and you know, does a solid job, then they can maybe find a long-term coach here in 3 or 4 years. I think it might be a solid hire for them. It's certainly no home run. It's not even a triple, but maybe it'll be a double for them.
A little ground rule double never hurt nobody.
Yeah, that's true.
3 out of the last 5 years, he's won 10 games at Utah. And I just happen to think, you mentioned the NIL stuff. Michigan, it's felt like and it feels like they're going to continue to want to spend and be in the mix. They have some people in their collectives and all that stuff that have paid up some big bucks, obviously, for Bryce Underwood to steal him away from LSU the way that they did. And that's going to be a huge thing if and when this happens, is that he's going to have to, you know, infuse some belief in him, right, to stick around, because that's what you want if you want, if you're Kyle Whittingham, is a guy that can help your program hit the ground running quickly. We've seen that with Cignetti at Indiana. You nail that position early on, then you can catch some momentum the way that we've seen some programs like Vandy and Indiana do that. And so, yeah, for Whittingham, man, he kind of fits the mold of what Michigan has been recently. You touched on the style of play that his teams have. I think Michigan fans would feel comfortable with that hire because when you missed out on some of the big names like Kiffin and Brian Kelly was thrown out there, who knows what people really wanted up in Ann Arbor, and then Matt Campbell goes to Penn State, you're looking around and saying, who's going to be a guy that can really hope, bring some hope to the franchise and to the university up there? And it feels to me that Kyle Whittingham will provide some of that, even though, to your point, I don't think it's the splashiest hire, but I don't even know if that guy was available, and I also don't know if that's what they need right now either.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to follow, and interesting to follow at least. And another thing that's interesting, like it's, and we know this, but it's still almost hard to believe, Whittingham took over for Urban Meyer at Utah. Right. That's how long he was at Utah, and he was obviously there with Urban as his defensive coordinator, so he's been there at least 23 years. Went to school at BYU. I mean, he's been in Utah like pretty much his entire life. That's another thing that some Michigan fans are concerned about looking at their message boards. Doesn't have like ties to the Midwest. Doesn't have ties to, you know, the recruiting areas
man,
around here.
I hate that geography talk.
But you have to, you do, I do agree. They better get a good GM, you know, generally, they're Mark Pantone. Now they're not going to get Mark Pantone, somebody of that. I think he's the best in the business. They've got to get somebody good. I hear what you're saying, but Cole.
I hate that when a coach gets hired somewhere and it's like they really know the area. It's like what he knows the highways to get the work.
But knowing the coaches, I think, is a real thing, though. But yeah. Whittingham is so respected that I don't know. I mean, I hear what you're saying, it's, but I do think it matters. Like to know the territory a little bit.
Yeah, the relationship with high school coaches is important. That's a really good point. That stuff is important, but it's kind of the TLC's point. A couple years ago when they had lost to Michigan, that being Ohio State, and now some of the former players were coming out about the guys dancing and the guys not being from Ohio.
Oh, that's right.
I was kind of like, okay, if you, just because you were born here in Ohio, and yes, you know of the rivalry, that doesn't equate to me to that game's going to go the other way because your roster is made up of more Ohio guys. Just get dudes. Like, that to me is all I care about.
And
get
to your point, there's a lot of people saying, see, Ryan Day is from New Hampshire. He doesn't get it. Yeah, but you don't hear that anymore, do you?
No, not at all. Not at all.
I think it was, C.J. Stroud and Kyle McCord back-to-back years when they lost to Michigan, kind of like downplayed it in the post-game press conference. Like, just another game on the schedule.
This won't define me.
Exactly. Yes.
You don't want to do that, though.
Yeah, you don't want to say this. At Ohio State, it kind of does define you. Yeah, and like, nobody's saying anything about Julian Sayin being from California.
Right. And it was like, Stroud's from California, Kyle McCord's from Philadelphia. You know, I don't think the Troy Smiths of, like, you know, quarterbacking an offensive 11 Ohio players would have said that. Yeah. So it's like,
Like, I'm not passing on a kid from Texas because, you know, he doesn't know anything about the rivalry.
Exactly.
He's not from Ohio.
JT Barrett.
What state was Craig Krenzel from?
There you go.
Exactly.
There you
Michigan.
Go. Coming up next, we got a college football analyst bids that thinks the Buckeyes could be in some trouble versus Miami. You'll hear his reasons why next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Have you already started your tailgate? Us too. It's Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
My mom is a veteran and she was injured in the line of duty.
I hurt my leg in a training accident when she was only 2 years old.
She had 7 different surgeries over the span of 9 years, and there were tons of complications.
I couldn't be the mom my kids needed me to be.
She missed so much.
After my last surgery, I got an infection so bad I thought it was going to kill me.
I told her she couldn't leave me yet. There was still so much she had to see. I hadn't even graduated.
I'm doing much better now. I may have lost my leg, but I've gained so much. I'm an active part of my kids' lives.
She can kick a mean soccer ball.
DAV's been there for me and my family. Through thick and thin, they've had our back.
Every year, DAV helps more than 1 million veterans like Sandy get the health and disability benefits they've earned so they can achieve victories great and small.
My victory is getting my life back. I got my joy back.
We got our mom back, thanks to DAV.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Are the keepers of the wild, America's original and most invested conservationists. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving wildlife and the natural landscapes that define our nation. From rugged alpine ridgelines to peaceful tall grass prairies, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. Our funding has led to cleaner water, fresher air, and improved wildlife habitat. From abundant fish and waterfowl populations to robust deer and elk herds, nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters, stewards of the American outdoors.
America's hunters and target shooters, along with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, have invested more than $46 billion to help state fish and wildlife agencies manage and protect wildlife and wild lands across America. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
I'm back to...
The Jackets are back at Nationwide for a battle with the Islanders. Live fan coverage starts Sunday at 4:30.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating and Cooling.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We are going to see some patchy fog linger. Otherwise, scattered showers today and cloudy skies with daytime highs getting into the low 60s and breezy winds. For tonight, mostly cloudy overnight with our lows in the 30s. And then for Saturday, we'll start the weekend dry and mostly cloudy with highs in the mid to upper 40s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice.
Whatever.
never the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Anthony can follow direction very well, as long as he first prints out MapQuest. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
That you are. Dave Biddle in the house today for our guy AR. Hope you everybody had a great holiday season, great Christmas. Not over yet. New Year's Eve next Wednesday. Gonna be a great day. Buckeyes, late at night against Miami. Wake up the next day, you get three games starting at noon for the college. Well, maybe one. Is it noon or one?
I think it's noon.
Is it noon?
Because I was thinking, like, for Oregon, that's like 9 a.m. I know the game's in Miami, but
yeah, let me
that's
get
crazy
this
that
right.
That game's at noon. Yeah, the Orange Bowl.
Yeah. No, you're right. So, yeah, you'll get Oregon and Texas Tech at noon. That'll be followed by Bama and Indiana at 4. And then the nightcap will be Ole Miss versus them Dogs from Georgia at 8. So, yeah, Wednesday, Thursday next week is going to be awesome. And so, look, we've got everybody out there right now giving their opinions about what's going to happen. And not only this game, but the rest of the way. And that's what makes this really, really fun, because you look at some of the lines around, you know, the quarterfinal matchups. The Ohio State-Miami spread is the biggest one right now. I've seen 9.5, 10 kind of everywhere you look right now. Smallest one on the board right now, Biz, looks like it's Oregon and Texas Tech, and Oregon favored by 2.5. And so just digging in on this game, David Pollack, former ESPN college football analyst, former Georgia Bulldog himself. He apparently has been grinding the tape, and this is how he feels about the game and where things could be headed next Wednesday.
When I looked at this game and I started to break it down, Brent, Miami's better on both sides of the line of scrimmage. Miami's offensive line, to me, is better than Ohio State's. Miami's defensive line is better than Ohio State's.
So look, that's one man's take. I am a line of scrimmage guy. I don't grind the tape, but I just have realized how important it is over the years, especially when I made the mistake years ago where Kansas City was playing Tampa in the Super Bowl. And the storyline all week
with
long,
two backup tackles
going into the game, was exactly that. And I was sitting here saying, you know, they got Mahomes and they got Reed and they got whooped in that Super Bowl. So since then, that stuff really matters to me. Here's what I'll say is I have confidence in what Ryan Day can do with weeks of preparation and what he showed he could do along with some other guys last year when they had to deal with injuries on their offensive line and they went on their way to winning a national championship. So you absolutely have to respect, you know, Bain and that crew up front and what they can do with their defensive line. But I just think when you have an offensive minded guy and you give him time to reset in the lab and figure some things out, I have confidence that while yes, Miami will probably still get theirs, it's not going to be what we saw in Indy. And I think because of the last thing that we saw from Ohio State was Indiana got after them. It was a 5 sacks in the game. And all year long, this Buckeye offensive line, excuse me, had only given up 6 sacks on the year. Right. So this hasn't been a glaring issue all season. So there may be some knee jerk reaction to what we just saw from Ohio State. And you combine that with seeing Miami and how stout they were against Texas A&M. And some people may be leaning that way.
Yeah, Miami is very good on both sides of the line. I do think Ohio State's defensive line is not getting enough credit. I mean, Caden McDonald to me is the best one tech in the country, and they've got a really good defensive end tandem with Caden Curry and Kenyatta Jackson. Now, you look at but there's no doubt Miami has a phenomenal defensive line as well, and Ohio State's offensive line's coming off their worst performance of the season, like you said, but they're making a change at right guard. Tegra's hurt. He's out this game. Sounds like Gabe Van Sickle will start. He's been playing really well coming in off the bench. This will be his first start. Josh Padilla is now back healthy. He's going to be rotating in there. Sounds like those two guys are going to hold down the fort at right guard. If the offensive line can hold its own, they can have a stalemate, I'm very confident Ohio State's going to win this game, because I look at the other side of the ball. Every time I think about this game, I think it's going to be really tough for Miami to move the ball and score on this Ohio State defense. Really tough.
Yeah.
People aren't talking about enough that Ohio State only gave up 13 points to Indiana. You know, because, you know, obviously Ohio State lost the game, but it's like Ohio State was sleepwalking that game. Now they're motivated. Now you have people saying things like David Pollack are saying. That's going to get them even more fired up. I think this Ohio State defense is going to get after them. I mean, Carson Beck, he's not a mobile quarterback. They're going to be guys like Arvell Reese have kind of not been doing what they've been doing all year. They've been kind of just holding back lately. I think they're going to turn Arvell Reese loose, Sonny Styles, Caleb Downs. I think Ohio State's defense is going to get after him.
We've seen so much creativity from Patricia this year. And to your point about Carson Beck, a thing that's been a thorn in his side is you send pressure at the dude, man, he gets flustered, right? He can get flustered, and he's not the same guy when there's a clean pocket. You could say that for a bunch of quarterbacks, I'm sure, but Matt Patricia has to be looking at, okay, not only what we've done all year, but what Texas A&M just did and how flustered that he looked in that game. And so I don't see them being able to go down the field consistently and get a whole bunch of points. I don't see that in this game. We really haven't seen it all year long, to your point. Look, the vibe coming out of the game against Indiana was really tough for Ohio State, but that was rooted in the offense and what they weren't able to do. Defensively, Patricia and the crew still went out there and did some good stuff. I want to hop in the hot tub time machine right now and play a little clip for you from last year, because going into the game against Tennessee, there were some people on the SEC network that were kind of saying similar things to what David Pollack just said about the upcoming game next Wednesday.
In Columbus, December 21st, prime time. It's going to be cold. It'll be in the 20s at game time.
Why do you make the face? This is the easiest one for me. And
is it?
Imagine, like, Tennessee, big Tennessee through that defensive line is going to dominate.
Really?
I like their ability to run the football, too, against Ohio State in that weather.
How about you're down a left tackle. You're down Seth McLaughlin at center just in the last couple of weeks. I don't care about the weather. Tennessee's front wins this game for them. Nico's not going to have to do heavy lifting in this game.
So right around this time last year, there were similar things being said on national television. Tennessee came into this joint, left the joint with not a single sack on their side of the scorecard.
I feel like you just handed me the laptop and I'm like doing my best Michael Jordan impersonation, just laughing. Because I'm telling you, a lot of Miami fans are chirping on social media too. I'm like, this reminds me a lot of last year. If this game was at Ohio Stadium, they'd probably be nicknaming it. What, I don't even know what their stadium is now. It's not the Orange Bowl.
Is it Hard Rock? Is it Hard Rock down there?
But Hard Rock North, like they named Tennessee fans named the Horseshoe Neyland North. I'm like, okay, why don't you tug on Superman's cape a little harder? How'd that work out for them? Yeah, I again, man, I love it. It just seems, and I think like the, even though it's a neutral site, I mean, what do you guys think? 85-15 Buckeye fans, 90-10?
Yeah, because if it was Texas A&M, that may have been 50-50, maybe 60-40 leaning towards A&M side of things. But yeah, Buckeye Nation, they'll show up if there's a game played in the upside down, let alone, you know, in Dallas. And so, yeah, that place will be absolutely rocking with Buckeye fans all over the place.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be a good game. I was not surprised at all that Miami won. I thought they were the better team than Texas A&M going into that game and to win. I know it was a rock fight, but it was also extremely windy. People say, well, Miami doesn't have a good field goal kicker. Miami has a great field goal kicker. It's just he had one that looked like it was right down the pipes, and then it just went sideways. Yeah. Looked like it was like a Soldier Field on like a windy day.
Drives off the tee, so, it is.
Probably better than my drives off the tee. But
what's your concern level with Ohio State's pass protection against Indiana, though? Because that was a little bit of a breakdown that we hadn't seen in a long time, and Miami's D-line is sick.
Right, and Indiana's D-line, I know they lost the one kid who, you know, unfortunately got hurt when he was celebrating after the game. It wasn't like he was doing anything crazy. He was just trying to jump up and just, you know, give high-five a fan. Yeah, it's interesting. I have mixed emotions on that because part of me thinks it's an aberration because they've been so good in pass pro all year, and then you realize, well, their schedule was not nearly as tough as we thought coming into the year, and then they play a really good D-line in Indiana, and they get smoked. And then as good as a D-line Indiana has, Miami's is better. I don't know. I have mixed emotions on. They just feel like it felt like they were just sleepwalking in that game. Indiana was hungrier. Like they had the Michigan hangover, the signing day hangover, the Brian Hartline situation. Everything added up. I still think this is a good pass protecting offensive line for Ohio State, but this will be a tough test. So I kind of have mixed emotions about it, but I lean heavier toward it was an aberration and this O-line will be fine.
We can acknowledge that Indiana was for real that day up front, has been all year, but also Ohio State left a lot of meat on the bone in that game as well. Like they were moving the ball down the field, got into the red zone, especially late third and fourth quarter, and just didn't capitalize. They came away with no points. And Ryan Day, I think, is smart enough to know that I'm not just going to put Julian in situations to where he's doing five-step drops, seven-step drops, and letting those guys tee off on him. And that's where I'm looking at the run game and some counters that they can have there with maybe some draws and delayed stuff to where you let those pass rushers get upfield and maybe slip by them and maybe with some screens and some creative stuff like that. Because those guys want to hunt, and they've been hunting all year, and you have to respect it. But I think with some of the stuff we've seen them do with the tight ends this year, right, maybe adding an extra body or two there to whoever you feel like may be more dominant on their side of the ball, there's enough creative ways to where I think you can get the ball out quickly with the playmakers that you have and trust in Jeremiah and Carnell to rack up some nice yak in the game as well. If you need to get the ball to them quickly, trust those guys to break some tackles and get to the house or maybe just rip off some chunk plays. So it's definitely going to be a fun matchup to see. And this offensive line and Coach Day have had to hear about this and will continue to hear about it going into Wednesday because, yes, you have to respect Miami, but I think when you give a program like this again after last year, added motivation because they're already going to be hungry to want to go back to back. But the noise is out there now to where people feel like you can expose Ohio State down there on the offensive line, and we shall see. Coming up in 2 minutes, we'll do NFL picks against the spread. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
What would it take for my child to only miss half a day of school for treatment? What would it take to find a cure for childhood cancer?
It would take all of us to come together to support the research. Join us. Go to childrenscancer.org today.
Cashback is not available.
25.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Rothman and Ice, NFL Picks.
Sponsored by Roosters. Roosters is giving away 12 ultimate Buckeye experiences, tickets, sideline passes, trips to a first-round postseason game, and more. Register today at roosterswings.com.
All right, let's get to it. NFL Picks time. Dave Biddle in the house today for AR. TLC, let's cook, man. Where we going first?
Well, we got a couple games tomorrow since college football is done. We got the Texans and the Chargers. I believe this is a rematch of a playoff game from last year. Houston won it then. This is in L.A., Chargers minus 1.5. NFL Network's got this one.
Well, you like that, so you're going with?
I'll take the Chargers at home. Both really good teams. The Texans are playing awesome. If this game was in Houston, I would take the Texans. I'll take the Chargers in L.A. and lay the 1.5 points.
I would love to know what the over-under is for this game, because you got two salty defenses. Texans, to your point, right now on a heater. They've won 4 in a row. CJ playing some clean football, 5 touchdowns over his last 3 games without an interception. I'm going to go with the Texans on the road here. I just think with the ability to get after the passer up front with Houston, with Hunter and Anderson, and the injuries that the Chargers have racked up all year long on that O-line, I'm going with H-Town. Give me that 1.5.
39.5.
Okay, pretty low.
There you go.
Pretty low.
All right, and let's do the nightcap on Saturday. That is going to be Ravens at Packers. I cannot wait to watch the Ravens get eliminated this weekend.
Probably going
to
happen. Probably going to happen, bro.
Maddie's sitting right here, man.
Packers minus 4 and a broadcast team that I like. It's on Peacock, and it's Noah Eagle, Todd Blackledge.
Are you going to like the quarterbacks that are going to be playing in this game? Because I don't think I will. It's going to be sounds like Snoop Huntley. Lamar is doubtful for this one. We may get Malik Willis on the other side. I know he hurt his shoulder in their last game. Yeah, it's tough for me to see how the Ravens go into Lambeau without Lamar and save their season. I'm laying the 4, and we will see you next season.
Yeah, I'll lay the 4. Jeff Hafley, defensive coordinator. I'll lay the 4 with Green Bay being at home.
All right, Sunday, 1 o'clock, Channel 10. Nance and Romo got the Steelers minus 3 at the Browns. How did Nance and Romo get this?
Ooh, look at this. Only 3. That tells me I should probably... When I'm like taking them back, it's like, do the opposite. I already circled the Steelers. Give me Steelers laying the 3.
So watching the end of that Cleveland-Buffalo game last week where they were hanging around. They were right there. I think it was 23-20. They got the ball back. The offensive line for Cleveland did absolutely nothing. And now you're talking about maybe T.J. Watt coming back. I know he's returned to practice over the last couple of days. Steelers right now without D.K. Metcalf in this one. And so for an offense that has been kind of blah all year with explosive plays and all of that, maybe the Browns can make this interesting. I just don't have faith right now in the offense and especially the guys up front. So I'm going to lay the 3 and roll with the Steelers.
Dave Biddle's Bengals are still playing football, and they're 7-point favorites at home in the jungle against the Cardinals.
Yeah, the offense looked good last week against Miami. Chase Brown with a banger of a game. Now they're back at home against an Arizona Cardinals team that just really can't stop anybody. Bad formula. There's been some fight to this Bengals defense here recently. I trust that enough, but this is just rooted in the offense and Joey B, so I'll lay the 7.
Yeah, I think the Bengals are going to score a lot of points in this game. And we have a saying for this as Bengal fans: when they're completely out of it, we're hoping for a best draft pick. It's called the dead cat bounce. It was invented in the 90s. There's a lot of dead cat bouncing going on in the 90s. They'd be eliminated, then they'd go on like a 3-game winning streak. And that's probably what they're going to do here. They won last week. I bet they win this week, and then they're going to win maybe next week against the Browns and screw up their draft pick. So give me the Bengals minus 7.
You yawning in there? You all right?
You caught that?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought when you asked me, I thought my mic was on.
No. I'm just like, hey, man, it's 12. I'm tired, too, but it's 12:30 in the afternoon. We got to wake up. Coffee. We're on the radio. Saw some yawning in there. All right, the Panthers are fighting to close out a division, but it's not very optimistic when they're 7-point underdogs at home. Seattle's coming to town.
Funny story real quick. You know, when I was playing, like, basketball when I was, like, 9 or 10, my dad was, like, recording the game. And I got home when we watched it, and all I'm doing is yawning in the middle of a game. So this is just a thing for me.
Like, on the court?
Yeah, I'm just yawning.
Michael Jordan? Exactly. Not like during timeouts or less.
Just a thing. Just a thing for me. Listen, Seattle, the JSN thing has been incredible to watch this year with him just absolutely popping off. I think he's eligible this offseason for an extension, yes. So he's about to get a monster bag from them. Panthers are scrappy, man. These dudes are absolutely scrappy. I'm going to roll with Seattle on the road. I don't love my pick here, but I'm going to lay the 7 and roll with the Hawks away from the 12s.
Too many points going 3 time zones away. Give me the Panthers at home plus 7.
Would you ever consider playing for the Saints?
No.
Aaron Rodgers does not play for the Saints, but Tyler Shuck does.
Yes.
And he might be good. Saints are 2.5-point favorites at the wee ass Titans.
Give me the Saints. They are. They're playing. I mean, their defense is playing well. You're right. I mean, they still have Chris Olave. Speaking of Buckeye receivers that are showing out, not to the extent of JSN, but still having a good year. Yeah, give me the Saints on the road, -2.5.
Tell you what, got to give credit to Lewis Riddick. He was a Tyler Shuck guy in the draft process, saying this is the guy over anybody else in the draft that he would want. He may be right because it looks like Tyler Shuck is on his way to maybe being a solid quarterback in the NFL. I'll lay the 2.5 and roll with the Saints as well on the road.
We got a lot of road favorites this week, and one of them is New England. They are 13.5-point favorites at the Jets. I assume Brady Cook's playing the rest of the year with spreads like these. 13.5?
Going to be interesting to see what type of punch the run game is for New England without Travion, because I don't think he's going to play in this one. Rhamondre Stevenson's he's fine. He's just kind of a guy at this point in his career, but the Jets are just offering really no resistance to anybody right now. I don't even know if they want to win right now with where they could be picking in the draft. I just trust Vrabes. He'll have his guys locked in. It's a crazy number for a divisional opponent on the road, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
I'm with you. Man, just like 13.5 on the road just seems like, because it is. It's a massive number in the NFL, but I think they're going to win this game by 20. So give me the Patriots -13.5.
Are the Jets about to have 4 starts from an undrafted rookie this season?
That's nasty.
That's ugly. I got mixed feelings about this. I'm a huge Phillip Rivers fan, but I have some fantasy implications from a couple Jaguars. Jaguars -6 in Indianapolis. Don't know who I'm rooting for.
I will take the Colts to cover. I think the Jags will win, but I think the Colts will find a way to cover. So I'll give me the Colts +6.
If the MVP race started about 6 weeks ago, Trevor Lawrence might be the winner with the way that this dude is playing. They go into Denver last week. He puts up really good numbers, clean numbers, 3 touchdowns through the air, 1 on the ground. He is so locked in at the moment. But the Colts look pretty good. They look pretty good on Monday Night Football, especially the offense. Yeah, I was going to say, the offense. The defense did not look good. But you got a quarterback coming into your crib on a heater in a comfortable environment right now in a Jaguars team that is playing with a ton of confidence. I'm rolling with the squad from Duval County. I'm laying the 6.
All right, Battle of Florida here. Central Florida versus South Florida. Buccaneers -6 in Miami.
Where are we at with Tampa right now? Tampa's slipping and sliding the wrong way.
And Miami is a disaster, though.
Yes, they are.
But they could fix it all. Because I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, do we have a Panthers-Buccaneers rematch for everything next week?
I believe that is the case. That is the case. I'm going to take the 6 and roll with Miami. Ooh. I don't love the vibes at all right now for Tampa. So I'm going to do that, and I think what TLC mentioned, the better version of Tampa will show up next week when the division's probably on the line.
Are they rolling with Quinn Ewers again, the Dolphins?
I believe so.
Give me the Bucs -6. I mean, he didn't look good against the Bengals have the worst defense perhaps in NFL history. Not just that, they definitely have the worst defense in the NFL this year, and he didn't look that good. He had his moments.
I'm banking on maybe some of the stuff that we saw from Phillip Rivers. Well, after one start, maybe he's a little bit more comfortable. But this is really rooted in where I think Tampa is more than anything. You're right to bring up Quinn Ewers. It did not look good. It did not look good, but I'll give him some grace. Second home starting to roam for him. We'll see.
All right, so here's where we're at as we'll save the last few games for pre-snap reads. But we got Panthers with a 1-game lead on the Buccaneers. So as we discussed earlier in this segment, we got the Panthers as 7-point underdogs, meaning probably losing. Buccaneers at 6-point favorites, so probably winning. And they'll have a tied record, so they will probably be Sunday Night Football next week.
Okay.
playing for it all.
I'm here for it.
And I mean, like I said, man, Baker versus Bryce Young. This is like my two kids going up against each other. I don't know who to root for.
So the Bucks have lost three straight games to three straight divisional opponents. So it's Saints, Falcons, Panthers. The first two have been at home. They went into Carolina, only put up 20. And so we've seen them do it as far as get to the playoffs and do some decent things. I don't know what the heck's going on right now with that team.
I'm surprised that Bryce Young went from, oh, he's definitely a bust up. He might be okay. And I'm not saying he's
he might
like
be a playoff quarterback.
Yeah. And I'm not saying like I'd want him as my franchise quarterback. I wouldn't want to pay him like, you know, Joe Burrow money or name it. But like you might need to. And he's certainly not a bust. And I thought he was for, yeah.
But he might have the team, and I think the worst place you can be as a franchise when it comes to having a pay a guy like this. Because it's kind of like Tua-ish vibes to me, to where you see some things that make you believe, but is it really consistent? Or is the ceiling high enough to where he can clip some of the other elite teams and quarterbacks around the sport? But sometimes when you have a guy like this, you have to look around and say, we really have no choice.
Right.
And so you may have to cut this guy a check of $45, $50 million a year and just see what you get. And so, yeah, I think they're in a very, very interesting spot right now, that being Carolina, because his skill set to me never really jumps off the screen, but he's good enough to where you can get by with him. But they're also playing in a bad division. So it's just, I don't know. I really don't know how to really feel about Bryce Young, but you got to give him and that team some credit for some of the good things that they've done. And they may be putting the shirts here in a couple weeks. Coming up next, we're doing overs and unders with TLC right after the break. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
We're known for three things: games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Men, the new year is here.
A real journey since 2014 when I first had my injury. I realized that my home was just not working for me and that it was time to ask for help. Homes for Our Troops is really giving me my life back. The shower allows me to go in and turn around with my chair, pull down storage racks, automated door systems, hours of my morning given back to me. Adaptive sports are a huge part of my life, a huge part of my healing journey as well. Homes for Our Troops helped with making sure that I had a home gym so that I can continue to train. This past year, I was able to host Thanksgiving in my home, and it was the first time I was able to have my whole family in one place, and I was able to contribute to the meal. There are a lot more veterans in need, and Homes for Our Troops is going to be there to help them too.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
Morning Juice, real football talk. Just two guys who aren't afraid to say what needs to be said.
And that's how she wrote.
Sponsored by Riverside Bank of Dublin.
Now streaming mornings on YouTube and 10TV Plus. Attack and dominate.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Rothman and Ice presents Overs and Unders.
Sponsored by The Roofing Guys. For all your roofing, siding, and gutter needs, contact The Roofing Guys at theroofingguys.com.
All right, welcome back in. We do it every Friday to round out the first hour of the program. It's time to do it again. Overs and Unders. Let's rock and roll, TLC. Where are we starting, big dog?
First of all, when I got back into the office today and I fire up the computer and I log in, the last page that I had up was Theo Huxtable from Tuesday's Lookalike show.
Oh.
So I had that and I'm just like, how did I start this whole discussion about lookalikes by him saying he's never gotten a lookalike before? You look just like Theo.
I think I have one better.
Oh, okay. What do you got?
I'm watching the games yesterday. I think this has hit me before, but I've never mentioned it. And I'm thinking, I think I have Maddie's doppelganger. I think I do. Nate Burleson.
Okay. Let me say this. I kid you not.
Don't tell me you've never gotten that one before. That's pretty good.
We're sitting there yesterday, Mom and Pop's watching that game. My mom goes, son, you kind of look like Nate Burleson.
There you go.
And really, because I always wore a hat, so nobody like ever sees my hair, but I used to have kind of like the curly top that he has as well, and it's the glasses, the beard, the hair. So yeah, I see the vision with Nate Burleson,
and he's really good. He's a little cheesy, and you're not cheesy. you're just cool. You're the Iceman. No, you're the Iceman. He's a little. He kind of has to be a little cheesy because he does like the morning show stuff.
Yeah,
he's got a little Strahan in him.
Yeah,
but you can't be doing those morning shows and just be completely like in dry jock mode.
Right.
But you guys do look alike.
Okay, so I see the vision with that for sure. Nate Burleson carving out a nice little career in media, man.
Oh, for sure.
Because I think he's doing a show maybe on like a game show on Fox, and he started at NFL Network. So, yeah, he's out there getting to it. So, yeah, I can rock with both of those. I can rock with both of those.
There we go. You now have celebrity lookalikes. After almost 35 years of nothing, we found two in the past week.
I love it.
There you go. All right. How many Big Ten teams are advancing to the college football playoff semifinal? The over-under is 2.5.
So, Biz, we got Buckeyes in Miami. Got Bama, Indiana, and we got Oregon and Texas Tech. Who you got? How many? Over or under?
Over or under how many? I'm sorry.
2.5 out of three.
Who's going to win of the top seeds?
The Big Ten teams. How many advance?
I'll take the under.
Ooh.
I think one will lose. It won't be Ohio State.
I think they're going to go 3-for-3. I think Bama is going to lose to Indiana. I think Ohio State will get it done against Miami. I am not a believer in Texas Tech at all. I just don't believe in them. I don't believe in the conference that they played in the Big 12. They didn't face much resistance there. You played BYU a couple times. Their offense was just kind of blah. Their defense is good. Rodriguez is a monster at linebacker. There's no denying that. I think Oregon's going to handle Texas Tech. I really believe that next Thursday. So I'm going 3. I'm going over.
I guess like individually I'd probably pick, but like I just feel like if I had to bet, I think one team will lose. I don't know who it'll be. I'm a little concerned about Indiana because the defensive lineman we were talking about that's now out for the year because he hurt his knee celebrating. He took over for a guy that was really good, too. Now, they're both playing a lot, but so they're down two of their defensive linemen. I do think they're going to beat Alabama, but I'm a little concerned about it.
All right, keeping with our weekly tradition of the lowest over-under total in the National Football League, we are also keeping up with our weekly tradition of it being a Browns game. Steelers-Browns 34.
So the Browns have only scored 30 or more this year one time. One time this season. It's an offense, even going back to last year, where they just do not put points up on the board. They're asking so much from their defense week in and week out.
And now you don't have Quinshon.
Your offensive line has been just a mess. And on the flip side of that, too, Steelers are coming in kind of playing left-handed without DK Metcalf in this game, too. This screams to me 14-10, 17-3 in favor of the Steelers this week. I'm going under.
I'm going to go under, too. It reminds me of one of those. Now, this past season is not doesn't count. This current season with Iowa, anytime I saw an Iowa line like a couple years ago, I'm like, that looks too low. I'm going to go under anyway. It would be like 29.5. Yeah, give me the under on that one.
All right. Also keeping up with our weekly tradition of the highest over-under, we are also keeping up with our tradition of it being a Bengals game. We got Cardinals-Bengals 53.
Jeez. I mean, I'll take the over just because I think the Bengals are going to score a lot. And it might be wet, but it's going to be like in the 60s, I think,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, you know, really? as long as it's not like, as long as it's not like soaking wet, I think.
I think maybe 50s,
it's going to be unseasonably warm.
To your point, yeah, it won't be cold.
And the Bengals offense is
clicking. 63 is a high, wow.
Yeah, Bengals offense has been clicking. You know, the dead cat bounce is real, but their defense is still terrible, even though they showed signs of life. Yeah, give me the over.
If you are in your fantasy championship and you got pieces in this game, you got to be feeling pretty good.
I've got Burrow and Chase.
Oh, my goodness, because I just think these teams are getting up and down the field. The Cardinals, they kind of stumble into that, kind of just that gold if you're a fantasy manager to where they just kind of get their teeth kicked in early and their quarterback and playmaker just, you get those garbage points late. That's kind of been what Brissett's been doing. Brissett with his first kind of game last week. But Wilson, that crew, man, combined with the Bengals and what they do, I'm going over. It's crazy. I just think we're getting fireworks in this one.
So, yeah, Sunday is going to be unseasonably warm, but it is definitely a one-day deal because it's one of those things where, like, at midnight, it's going to be 62. And so, like, Sunday morning will technically start at 62 degrees. It will be beneath freezing by noon.
Okay.
Wow.
And today's point, though, it's supposed to
dress warm on Monday, no matter how it feels in the morning.
It's supposed to rain, though, right, on Sunday? Yes. Are you seeing that? Yeah, some rain.
I am.
Okay.
So we'll see about that.
You can put a little twang on that. I am.
I do declare.
He is from Alabama. No, he's not.
Well, hey, Indiana, Alabama is 48.5.
It's something about the Bama offense that I haven't really seen it this year consistently, especially against, to your point, look, an Indiana defense that is coming in banged up. I'm going to go with the under, though, in this game.
I'll go over just because I'm torn. My tiebreaker here is the Rose Bowl is just a fast track for whatever reason.
It's true.
It's probably a combination of it's just beautiful and then the weather's nice. But it seems like there's something with that grass too, where it's just a fast track, usually a lot of scoring. Give me the over.
Okay, coming up top of the hour after an update, we'll look around the NFL. Of the teams that are already in the playoffs, that have locked in playoff positions, on a scale of 1 to 10, Bids, who do we believe is really ready to win a Super Bowl this year? We'll do it next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Catch the latest from the world of Ohio State athletics. Weeknights at 6 on The Buckeye Show. News, special guests, and everything Scarlet and Gray, The Fan.
Wounded Warrior Project helps post-9/11 veterans and their families realize what's possible. With support and resources that bring warriors together and empower them to become stronger, both inside and out.
It's possible to begin healing.
To get the help you need.
To find peace.
And as each warrior's needs evolve, so do we. Because these last 20 years are just the beginning. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
We asked parents who adopted teens to share their journey.
Nathan has taught me to embrace the moment. Age-wise, I mean, I'm in my late 60s. I'm old enough to be his grandfather. Will he be embarrassed to acknowledge me as his dad? I think the most important thing we can do is let them know that they're safe, that they're valued and cared for and loved, and that they're important.
I knew I wanted to be adopted by him because of how he taught me to be the person who I am today. And it's coming from a dad that didn't expect to become a dad. And I feel very proud to be his son.
That was what he needed. And he was what I needed. Every day is full of new opportunities. That's what it's been about. Realizing the simple things that it takes to make such a huge difference in these kids' lives.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Cashback is not available. Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Nate Puderbaugh, their sports update. According to Dave Wetzel and Peter Thamel of ESPN, Michigan is zeroing in on former Utah head coach Kyle Whittingham as their next head football coach. Whittingham stepped down earlier after 21 seasons at Utah. He led the U's to an almost 67% winning percentage in an unbeaten season in 2008. In other coaching news, Ohio University has officially promoted defensive coordinator John Hauser to head coach. He coached OU to a 17-10 win over UNLV on Tuesday in the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl. Afternoon football features some Big Ten teams. Northwestern takes on Central Michigan in the Game Above Sports Bowl at 1 o'clock, and Minnesota takes on New Mexico in the Rate Bowl at 4:30. Despite Donovan Mitchell's 34-point effort, the Cavs fell to the Knicks on Christmas when Mitchell missed a game-ending three-pointer. The Cavs return to the court Saturday night to take on the Rockets in Houston. And the NHL continues their winter break. The CBJ return to the ice this Sunday. Breaking sports news, what happens on The Fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
Now you can watch Rothman and Ice.
Go to YouTube and search 97.1 The Fan.
Rothman is wearing the pancake makeup, so you might as well watch. Back to Rothman and Ice.
Hour number two, welcome back in. Rothman and Ice, Matty Ice, Dave Biddle in the house for ARTLC on the board, cooking per usual. Bottom of the hour, we're going over to Pittsburgh. Ray Fittipaldo covers the Pittsburgh Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He'll get us ready for Brown Steelers from the Steelers side of things. Quick question. When does the Christmas tree come down in the Biddle household? How long does it stay up? When does it come down?
I was always leave it up through the New Year's.
Okay. I can rock with that.
I bet you I get home today, my wife's already taking it down. She's like, a lot of times she's like, can you help me with this? I'm like, yeah, I'll help you later or whatever. And then she just ends up doing it.
Yeah.
So she's a just get it down the next day.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that's way too soon, but we'll see.
I like to see it.
What about you?
January 1. My Christmas, my mini Christmas tree will stay up January 1. I've done a few years where this thing's been around up for months after that because I love Christmas just so much, which has been that's been out of bounds on my part. But yeah, it's staying up through the New Year. That is for sure. You guys got New Year's plans outside of the game, just chilling?
No, just because of the game being on New Year's Eve, I'll be working all day and then doing a podcast in the middle of the night. We do a podcast on Bucknuts like right when the game ends, you know, and I'm sure with commercials and everything, that game will end probably around right around midnight. Uh-huh. So
you're going to be whispering at 1 a.m. while the rest of your house is asleep?
Yeah, I'm not going to be whispering. I'll be down in the man cave, so I'll be two floors down from everybody who's sleeping. Nice. So, but then if the Buckeyes win, man, New Year's Day is going to be nice. because you're just going to be laying around all day just watching football, get a chance to scout the night game and see who Ohio State's going to play between Georgia and Ole Miss. And I think, you know, rightfully so, everybody's picking Georgia. But Ole Miss, man, you never know how these things can go in sports, mm-hmm. where a coach leaves or something happens and it galvanizes a team. Mm-hmm. And they looked like that. I know it was Tulane, and they already blew out Tulane earlier this year. But I thought that game might be a little closer, and they looked really good. So maybe they can give Georgia a tough game. We'll see.
We shall see. And we were talking, during one of the breaks about Lane Kiffin and where he could be looking at the quarterback position. And maybe, Trinidad Chambliss could be his guy because he's in the process of trying to, get granted an extra year of eligibility next year. And that'll be a 6-year in college. And so just a lot of moving pieces around college football right now. At the quarterback position, a lot of guys have hopped into that portal. A lot of guys in TLC and I have been laughing at, you look at certain programs, hey, we've re-signed our guy to a contract extension. Like, it's just crazy the wording that we're getting, but that's what it is. This is now, it's always been a business, but this has been ramped up even more now with just the money going out there. But Trinidad Chambliss and Ole Miss, they looked apart right out of the gate. We didn't feel like they would get much resistance in that first game, but I think you really bring up an interesting thing there. Or maybe there's a little bit of that kind of blank you energy going on down there in Ole Miss, is that, hey, you kind of quit on us, we'll show you. And so that offense has been fun to watch, and we shall see what they can provide over the next maybe game or two or three. We'll see.
Yeah, they've got all the talent still there, and I'm sure they want to prove, you think we're just this good because of Lane Kiffin? Like, we'll show you. Right. Chambliss, man, he should just stay at Ole Miss after what they basically rescued him from Ferris State. Now he's going to go to LSU. Now, if the money is completely different, I get it. I think he should, if he gets his sixth year, should stay at Ole Miss as long as they pony up, which I imagine they would. By the way, speaking of quarterbacks that have applied for another year, Ohio University's Parker Navarro has applied for a seventh year. Now, I think there's nothing wrong with that. Being started his career at UCF. It's not like he's been in Athens for 7 years, but like, it's a good time down there. Like, uh-huh. if you want to be at Ohio University for 7 years, then do it, man. Do it.
And apparently the former head coach was having a little too much of a good time down there.
Even Solich did Athens. One time.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, I've had some nights down there, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's
good,
no, tough.
No
good
comment.
Stuff.
No yeah, comment.
Good stuff. Good stuff for there for sure. So looking around the NFL right now, it's been a wild year. It really has been. A wild year, and you look at the teams that have already stamped their ticket into the postseason. Who are some of these teams that we really believe could win a Super Bowl this year? And so, TLC, let's start on the AFC side of things. The teams that are already in the postseason as we sit here today, throw them at us, scale of 1 to 10. Bids and I will hit you with our belief in who could win the bowl this season.
All right, let's take it from the top. The number one seed, they have clinched a playoff spot at 13-3, the Denver Broncos.
I'm going to hit them with about a 7. I'm going to go with a 7 on my Super Bowl belief scale for Denver right now.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, they've got the formula that travels anywhere you have to go. A tough defense. They've got a good enough offense to where the offense is kind of safe-ish to me as far as the big plays that they don't generate, but it's not really holding them back, obviously, of what they've been able to do this year. I just don't see it yet with Bo Nix. I think when you're a young guy in year two, it really can take some time to figure it out at that level. But the structure of their team, I'm going to go with a 7 right now on my Super Bowl belief scale for Denver.
I can already tell them I'm going to be a stingy grader here because I look around the NFL. I don't really see any team that I'm like, yep, that's the team I think is going to win. I'd see a lot of like okay to decent teams. I've never seen it like this. I'm going to give them a 6. Everything you said, I mean, they do have a chance. I mean, Bo Nix is not setting the world on fire. He's still better than I thought he would be. When he was taking, 12th overall, I was like, geez, that seems kind of high for Bo Nix. That was a good pick. Very good defense, like you said, a head coach that's won a Super Bowl. Maybe it's a little too low, but I'm going with the 6.
You mentioned Parker Navarro real quick and how he's maybe sticking around for a seventh year. I mean, Bo Nix, I think, is kind of showing that the guys that played a lot in college, the transition may not be as difficult in the NFL. Maybe, right? The sample size isn't great for these guys. You look at a guy like Dillon Gabriel, he looks like he doesn't belong in the NFL. So we shall see kind of where that goes. And I think where you look at where NIL is around college football and these guys sticking around and getting more reps, maybe that'll translate into the league and these guys being able to come into the league and hit the ground running. But yeah, I'm with you on Bo Nix. I really didn't see this coming.
To your point, I mean, the kid that is with the Saints right now, Shuck.
Yeah,
wasn't he like a 6-year senior? Yeah. Wasn't he like 26 already? So yeah, I mean, like if you have the size with Gabriel, he had the experience, but he's like, they list him at 5'11". Is he like 5'10" maybe? Right, right. So it's like he has the experience. He just doesn't have an NFL body.
The Patriots have clinched a playoff spot. They are 12-3. They will obliterate the Brady Cook-led Jets, and they will be 13-3.
I'll give them 6.5. I'll give them a little bit better than the Broncos. I believe in Drake May. I believe in Mike Vrabel. Still one of the craziest things I've ever seen is the Titans firing Mike Vrabel and then turning around hiring Brian Callahan, who is the offensive coordinator in name only under Zach Taylor.
Yeah.
Give me a 6.5. I'd be tempted to go 7.
I want to go higher than Denver and give them an 8. But the offense right now for New England, especially when you look at their running back room, but more importantly, the shape of the offensive line and where that is, man, they've taken some really tough blows up front. And so I'll go a 6 right now for New England. I think they're a year away from maybe making that type of push.
Jacksonville, 11-4. I would love to hear your thoughts on this.
So, Trevor Lawrence, that game that we watched a couple years ago, right? The 4-touchdown, 4-interception game. I just always think about that game. Like, who really is this guy? But we mentioned it earlier. This dude's balling right now. Like, Trevor Lawrence is in his bag at the moment. I'm going with a 5, though. I'm going with a 5 in my belief in them to win the Super Bowl this year. I'm not seeing it, even though they're in the midst of a really good run.
Yeah, I think both conferences are relatively wide open, but the AFC is completely wide open. But I can't put them above the Broncos. I'll give them 5.5.
All right, let's pivot to the NFC a little bit here. Seattle is the leader in the clubhouse at 12-3.
Jeez. Sam Darnold. Man, two straight years Sam Darnold balling out. Seahawks. I will give them, I just can't see them winning. I'll give them a 6.
Sometimes I just like close my eyes. I'm like, can I see Sam Darnold holding the Lombardi trophy? Like, no. And that's not fair to him at all. But also last year too, we went on this ride with him, right? Unbelievable stuff throughout most of the regular season with him. And then kind of the real Sam Darnold showed up late in the year. But, man, I tell you what, man, like, that defense is salty. Like, it really is salty. And they get to host some of these games at home in a very tough environment that could obviously make their path tougher. But I'm going to go with a 6 right now for the Seattle Seahawks on my belief scale.
Oh, hello, that's me. The Bears are 11-5. I forgot Dave went first. Bears are 11-4.
In the same way, you know, I kind of spoke about New England and Denver. They're maybe 2 years away, I think, from being a true Super Bowl contender. Like, this year's been awesome. I think this is happening quicker than they thought it would. So I'm going to go with a 5 for Chicago this year. This was found money in the couch, I think, for Chicago this year, the success they've had right out of the gate with Ben Johnson in year one.
Yeah, absolute home run hire, but I think it's one of those things where they are overachieving in the regular season in year one, and they're going to be brought back to earth in the playoffs. So I agree. I give them a 5.
I'm going to give you 2 at once because they are currently slotted to play each other. So with the NFC West being as good as it is with 3 teams at least 11-4, the Rams are the 6th seed going to Philadelphia at number 3.
I'm going with an 8.
On which one?
The Rams. I'm going with an 8 on the Rams. You said the Niners?
I said Rams going to the Eagles.
So I'll go with the 8 with the Rams and the Eagles. I'm going to go with a 6. The Eagles, I just think, are a playoff 1-and-done. I think a couple years ago when they got in and got bounced by Tampa, just the juju, the energy around them all year has been bad. And so I'm going to go with a 6 for the Eagles.
The highest that I've given so far is a 6.5. I'm going to give the Rams there. If I had to pick one team to win, and I know what happened this last game, I would pick the Rams. I don't think McVay gets enough respect for being one of the top coaches. We know about Stafford. Yeah, give me a 7 for the Rams, which is the highest I've given.
There are 2 wild cards who have clinched in the AFC. I'll give them to you both. Chargers and Bills.
Okay, Chargers, I'll give them a 6. And Bills, I'll give them a 7.
Those two are currently competing with each other to go to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. So the Bills have... They know what it takes to get to the postseason and make a push in the postseason. The team that's been a thorn in their side will no longer be in the playoffs this year, right? Kansas City. They don't have to worry about that. So because of that and my lack of belief around kind of the other AFC teams, I'm going to go with a 9 for Buffalo. Ooh. I'm going with a 9 for Buffalo.
I should still want to play the Chargers over the Bills, right?
Yes.
Like, the Chargers have won 7 of their last 8, but even so, I'd still rather play them than Buffalo.
I think you want to stay away from Josh Allen and what he can do and just being a freak on any given Sunday.
Yeah. And then San Francisco and Green Bay both have wild cards, at least wild cards clinched in the NFC. San Francisco, Green Bay.
Yeah, give me, if you give me a healthy Jordan Love, which I'm assuming, give me 6.5 for Green Bay, and give me, they've been playing really well lately. They're so banged up, though. Give me a 6 for the Niners.
Oh, okay, I thought you'd be higher on the Niners.
Yeah, I don't know. They've been playing well lately. It's just, yeah, maybe I'm like a prisoner of what they did early in the year. I don't know.
I'm going with a 6 for, who's the team? I'm sorry, TLC again?
San Francisco.
Green Bay is getting a 6 for me, and I'm giving them an 8. Okay. San Francisco.
Giving
I'm
going Green with Bay an 8. Zero.
I'm going with an 8 because I just think, man, they've been there, done that. They haven't hoisted the trophy, but that head coach, that quarterback, the core players on that team, CMC, Kittle, the guys have been around for a long time. They know, man. They have belief in the building that they can make a push. So I'll go pretty high for the Niners as well. It's going to be a wild NFL playoffs this year. Just some unexpected teams in the mix. Somebody's going to catch a heater at the right time and maybe go on a run. You'll catch some injury breaks. Like, you just never know this year. That's the beauty of this sport. But this year, man, the sport's been kind of turned upside down, Bits.
I don't remember a year like this where I'm like I said, if I had to pick one, it'd be the Rams. But I'm not that confident in the Rams. I gave them a 7 out of 10. Like, I don't remember a year where I was like, I can't even think of like who I would really pick as the favorite. Yeah. There's a lot of like above average teams this year.
It feels to me, though, that an NFC team will win the Super Bowl this year.
I think
an NFC team is going to win the Super Bowl. Coming up next, second segment of our second hour every Friday. It's Under Pressure. That's right around the corner. It's Rothman and Ice right here on the Fan.
Let's see. High school, Buckeyes, Browns, kids in the retention pond. It must be Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Football is good. The Fan.
My son Ian was diagnosed with a brain tumor at the age of 16 months. The outlook was pretty rough. I mean, it was, you know, we had no hope until St. Jude rescued us. I mean, they saved him. To this date, you know, we are 12 years into this journey, and from day one, we've never once seen a bill. It gave us the peace of mind to know that we're there with our son, and we're going to beat cancer together. Now, he is doing really, really well. He's alive because of what St. Jude has done. He's here because of the doctors who came before, their blood, their sweat, their tears, the knowledge accumulated and shared, you know, with everyone else around the world. This is how we get rid of this, how we help kids beat cancer all over. It's the future.
Together, we will make cures possible for every child everywhere. Learn more at stjude.org.
The nonprofits VetTix and FirstTix have given away tens of millions of tickets and counting to vets currently serving military, the immediate family of troops killed in action, and our brave current and former first responders. These tickets are a meaningful way to say thank you to America's heroes. And now, we want you to be part of the mission. Got extra tickets to concerts, games, or special events? Or want to see if you qualify? We want you to go to VetTix.org and FirstTix.org today. Give something to those who gave.
People don't realize that glaucoma is one of the leading causes of blindness.
Because there are often no early symptoms, nearly half of those with glaucoma may not even know they have it until vision loss has occurred.
I was diagnosed with normal tension glaucoma in July of 2020. And what we found out at that point was I had already lost 40% of my sight. And you think it only affects people that are, you know, 75 or older, retired, grandparents. And that's not the reality of it.
I didn't think at all glaucoma was going to affect me because I didn't know of anyone that had glaucoma, no one in my family. When you have glaucoma, you can't get back that sight that you lost. And so early detection and treatment is vitally, vitally important.
Don't miss life's most beautiful moments. Schedule an eye exam today.
National Glaucoma Research, a Bright Focus Foundation program, offers free resources and tips for healthy vision.
Learn how to protect your sight at stopglaucoma.org.
Hey, it's Anthony, and it's Happy Honda Days at your main...
Get enough of your favorite Fan content? Good news, we're on all the digitals. Follow 971 The Fan on X, Facebook, YouTube, The Talk, and Gram. Your digital home for endless shenanigans. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We are going to see some patchy fog linger, otherwise scattered showers today and cloudy skies with daytime highs getting into the low 60s and breezy winds. For tonight, mostly cloudy overnight with our lows in the 30s. And then for Saturday, we'll start the weekend dry and mostly cloudy with highs in the mid to upper 40s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Rothman and Ice present Under Pressure.
Sponsored by 3D Cabinetry. 3DCabinetry.net, where quality meets affordability.
All right, let's lock in. It's Under Pressure time here on Rothman and Ice. Dave Biddle in the building today for AR Bids. I want you to lead us off, man. Who are you rolling with first?
My first one is Kyle Whittingham. I'm assuming he's going to be named Michigan's head coach today. There's just too much smoke out there. And I think that's a solid hire for the Wolverines. Why is he under pressure, though? He has to make sure he keeps Bryce Underwood around. And, you know, say what you want about Bryce Underwood. You want to keep him around. Is he raw? Yes. Is he extremely talented? Yes. And not just Bryce Underwood, because there's been a lot of smoke, Maddie, that LSU, he could go to LSU. He originally committed to LSU, then Michigan, you got him to stay home. I tend to think Bryce is going to stay there because I think Whittingham's going to sell him on staying there, and he's from Detroit. But keeping Bryce, keeping most of the roster, because Biff came out and said, we're going to lose like 25 guys. Biff has been talking a lot lately. I was like, keep talking, Biff. So I'll say Kyle Whittingham has pressure. He doesn't have long. He's got to make sure he keeps his roster together in Ann Arbor.
I like it. That's a good call. And if you're just now hopping in, it does sound like, according to Pete Thamel at ESPN, that is going to happen sooner rather than later. Maybe by the time we get out of here, Michigan will name Kyle Whittingham their next head coach. First candidates for me this week. I'm going with Matt and Ross Duffer. If you don't know who these men are, you may have heard of the show Stranger Things. Stranger Things, one of the most popular shows Netflix has ever created. Last night, they dropped three new episodes of the final season of Stranger Things. And the reason why I'm putting the Duffer brothers on the pressure list this week is because I am a Game of Thrones fan that was scarred by the last season of that show and how it ended and how the creators of that show, you hear some rumors about, hey, they were doing some Star Wars stuff. They may have been a little checked out. I haven't seen any spoilers from the episodes from last night. I will probably tap in tonight to the new season. I just think there's a lot of pressure to run through the tape and run through the finish line strongly with a show like this, because to me, they've killed it. They've done an awesome job for 4.5 seasons so far. They gotta finish strong. These kids have made boatloads of money on this show, as have the creators of this show, because this has been an all-timer for Netflix. So I'm going with the Duffer Brothers first bids. Pressure on them to bring it home. We'll get the series finale on New Year's Eve. So we'll have Buckeyes in Miami that night and the series finale of Stranger Things. So the Duffer Brothers, I'm putting you on the pressure list this week.
I like it. All right, my number two is Baker Mayfield. I thought at one point this year, I was like, look at this. Like, the Bucks are like a dark horse favorite, in my opinion, at the time, to maybe get to the Super Bowl or at least make a run. And things have gone the other direction for them. They're favored by 6. They're on the road, but the Dolphins are terrible. They've got to win. He can't lose again and then go into next week down a game in what would be the do-or-die game to win that terrible division with the Panthers. So I'm going to say Baker Mayfield.
Okay. I like that a lot. I like it a lot. Second candidate for me. I'm going with Travis Kelce's teammates, because I think that was it yesterday. I think that was his last home game.
Sure seemed like it.
As a Kansas City Chiefs. The energy after the game, the ovation, the looking up, and all of that. Like, that looked like a man that was really soaking it in and realizing, hey, man, I got a $100 million podcast deal from Amazon that I can rock out with my brother and do this in my basement and travel the world with my superstar wife-to-be soon and all of those
He's
things.
He's making $100 million. She laughs at that.
Correct. She's like, hey, I'm making this on a tour. A tour is crazy. I think in one of the new Disney Plus specials or whatever, where they're following her around, like, some of the checks she was cutting her dancers were like six-figure checks for the – it was crazy, the money, to your point, that she's making. But I just think you want to send Travis Kelce home with a win. They play at Las Vegas next week in their last game. This is a team that I think they can beat. And I think if I was a teammate of Travis Kelce for what he's done, for this franchise, what he's done for the sport in general, one of the best tight ends, man. I would want to really lock in and try to send our guy out with a win. Chiefs are 6-10, man.
That's crazy.
6-10. And Pat Mahomes just got hurt a couple weeks ago.
And I know his status for the start of next season is in question. I bet you he'll be ready. If he's not ready for game one, he'll be probably ready soon. I'm surprised that, and he still might, that Kelce doesn't want to run it back. Because, do you want to go out like this?
Yeah.
You want to give it one more shot? And you could still have another bad year, but you might not. I wouldn't want to go out like this. I'd give it one more year. Then again, he's got generational money, just his own. Then, of course, his Beyonce is
like
the richest woman in the world, maybe. Maybe right behind Oprah. I don't know. I'd have to look into that. But, yeah. So I could see it going either way. It does seem like he's going to retire, but I'd run it back. All right. My number three is the Reds front office.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for doing this.
Every day I check MLB trade rumors thinking, okay, today's the day. Well, Reds pick up some minor league free agent. I'm like, geez. And it's like, well, nobody else is doing anything, right? Oh, the Pirates are doing something like every other day. What's the Reds front office doing? I thought when we got Tito, they were going to make a commitment. Not like they're going to spend like crazy, but make more of a commitment.
Yeah.
And maybe they still will, Matty, but they probably won't. So I'm going to say the pressure's on the Reds front office to get something done this weekend.
I appreciate you doing this. I was talking to TLC earlier, and I said, listen, man, I like what your team's doing right now.
I do, too.
Not the splashiest of moves on offense, but they just needed some type of boost on that side of the field, and they're going to be okay. They got the pitching over there. Skeens is incredible. We all know that. And some other guys in their rotation are really good. But for our Reds, man, it's been a very sleepy offseason again for them. And what stinks is our teams, with TLC's team, kind of a similar formula. Got good pitching. That's not the problem. But you miss out on Ryan O'Hearn, who they get. Brandon Lau, they trade for him. He's a 30-plus home run second baseman. Offensively, it's just looking like it's going to be another grind for us, and they're going to waste another year of Ellie before he signs a max deal with the L.A. Dodgers or somebody like that in the years to come. So I'm so glad you did that because I thought about putting them on the pressure list as well. Last candidates for me. It's the Oklahoma City Thunder, bits. Because uh-oh.
They're coming.
Somebody walked in your trap and took over your trap yesterday. That's what the San Antonio Spurs did to OKC. And so, look, don't want to freak out too much, but it just felt like here's this team. They've got all these draft picks. They've already won a championship. They've got youth on their side that nobody's going to be able to slow this train down. And here comes the alien in Wemby. Here comes Stephon Castle, rookie of the year last year. Ron Harper's son, Dylan Harper, who played at Rutgers last year. He's getting his feet wet and really in the mix. But they've got some vets on that side as well for San Antonio. So this is just a time for OKC. You just got to look yourself in the mirror. Look yourself in the mirror because you've had to taste your own blood three times by one team over the last couple of weeks. And so they still obviously have a championship weekend. But now I think there's just a little bit more added pressure to OKC and kind of the runway that they have in the West because there's still Denver. There's San Antonio. KD and the Rockets are going to be a team you don't want to mess around with. And look, if the Lakers can figure their stuff out in a playoff setting, dealing with Luka, LeBron, and Austin Reeves, that's not going to be easy either. And so for some folks that maybe thought San Antonio had a little too much dip on the chip this year, they're showing, no. We're good to go over here. But this is about OKC right now. They got to get back in the lab and figure some things out, biz. They're on the pressure list right now for me.
And you always wonder when a team wins a championship, will they have that same hunger the next year? It's like Ohio State this year, I see the hunger because it's so many new starters, and maybe it's more to it than that. I think back to the 2014 championship team, they brought almost everybody back, the Buckeyes did. Just didn't seem like they had the same hunger in 2015. So I don't know. I'm not saying that's the case with the Thunder. I just think the Spurs are really good. But maybe after you win a championship, you don't have that same hunger the next year.
I think you may be onto something. And look, the NBA is fun right now. A lot of young players playing really well. Young teams playing well. Cooper Flagg looked really good again last night in Dallas. So sure, Mavs fans feel pretty good after that, even though, Nico, just like, my God, what are you doing? You talk about one of the craziest moments for me over the last couple of years was getting those notifications and thinking that this has to be some type of joke. It wasn't. I think Shams had to tweet out another tweet. Like, this is not a joke, folks. This is for real. Luka's been traded to the Lakers. Coming up in 2 minutes. Important game for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're going to talk to Ray Fittipaldo about it next. It's Rothman and Ice right
here. Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission,
please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
This GI Bill.
Rossmann and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Rossmann and Ice present Big Game Preview.
Sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company. We love what moves you.
Welcome back in. Big one up in Cleveland this weekend. Steelers coming to town. We're going to lock in right now on the terrible towels with our guy Ray Fittipaldo. Covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Ray, happy holidays, man. How was Christmas and all those good stuff for you?
It was great, guys. Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners out there. And, yeah, big game in Cleveland on Sunday.
No doubt about it. Big game without one of their big playmakers in DK Metcalf. And so we found out that he was going to be suspended for two games. He tried to appeal. The NFL said no. But what I want to ask you about is some of the info that came out about the contract now moving forward and the guaranteed money and how that may look a little bleak for DK Metcalf.
Yeah, so the Steelers would have to trigger that. And there are no indications the Steelers want to move on from DK Metcalf after only one season. So, that kind of language is in every NFL contract. But if the Steelers want to pay those bonuses, they will pay those bonuses. And a lot of that's going to come in year two. So unless something else crazy happens, like DK has another issue before next season starts, the Steelers are good to pick up whatever bonuses he had coming his way.
So just being around DK this year, you know, the Steelers have kind of always had this thing where they've been dealing with or been willing to sign up for receivers that can bring drama to the locker room and to the field. DK this year, just talk about the kind of teammate you've seen him be and just the guy you've seen him be in year one as a Steeler.
Yeah, I mean, I think DK's fine. I think the Steelers knew that he had some stuff in his past, but it was always stuff that was on the field. Like, it was never stuff that you would, like, equate to George Pickens not showing up for work or being late or being a cancer in the locker room. Like, the DK stuff was always, him getting into it with defensive backs and personal foul penalties, stuff like that. So I'm really hesitant to compare him to Pickens or Antonio Brown or Martavis Bryant just because those guys had separate off-the-field issues. But listen, this one was a big one. He did something he shouldn't have done. And depending on the result of the Ravens-Packers game on Saturday night, it could end up being a big issue for the Steelers on Sunday or the next week should they lose against Baltimore in Week 18.
Hey, Ray, I know a lot of this depends on what happens the remainder of this season, but what do you think is the most likely scenario at quarterback next year for the Steelers? Do you think they're going to run it back with Aaron Rodgers, look outside, maybe Will Howard will be ready? What do you think is the most likely scenario next year?
I think if Aaron Rodgers wants to come back, the Steelers will have him back. But, Aaron hasn't really indicated one way or the other if he even wants to come back. So, honestly, what he said back in the summertime was he's looking to end his career on a high note, and he didn't want to go out the way it was set up to go out after those two seasons in New York. So, listen, maybe Aaron is happy. They have a winning season. They go to the playoffs. He had a great, great time in Pittsburgh. Maybe that would be his cue, to hang it up. But if he did want to come back, I think the Steelers would have him back, and then you could talk about drafting a quarterback either in 2026 or 2027. Mason Rudolph is under contract for one more year. Will Howard under contract for three more years. So they wouldn't necessarily have to change their quarterback room unless there was a rookie in that college QB class that they really, really liked.
Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette joining us here on the Fan, talk all things NFL and Steelers. Ray, I want to ask you about how you've thought about the offense this year, right? With Arthur Smith as the offensive coordinator, they just seem to just kind of go about their business in a very slow way. It's not an exciting offense to watch. Were you expecting more of a spark and maybe more explosive plays this year than what they've brought to the field?
It's interesting. They haven't had many of those down the field, big 50, 60 yarders. And I kind of stopped looking at the stats like a month ago, so I was actually surprised to learn this week they have the number 11 scoring offense in the NFL. And you wouldn't think that watching this team from week to week, but they've actually been very productive in the short passing game. I bet you if you looked at their yards after the catch, they would be a top three or top five team in the NFL. That's how they get a lot of their yardage with Kenny Gainwell and Jaylen Warren. Even throwing short to their receivers, those guys have made some plays, you know, catching it short and running it long. So they've been good enough this year, and they've actually been really good lately. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can carry that into the playoffs should they get there. The one thing to watch with this team, slow starts. You know, that Miami game was unnecessarily close at halftime. Then they blew them out in the second half. And the same could be said for the game against the Lions. They really controlled that game from start to finish. But again, a slow start, and they didn't tie it up until Gainwell scored just before halftime with 2 seconds left. So if they could actually ever figure out a way to start games faster, I think they could be a really, really dangerous team in the playoffs. But we just haven't seen that full 60-minute effort yet from the offense.
Ray, I say this as a suffering Bengals fan, but I think those offensive numbers for the Steelers are a little skewed because they got to play the Bengals twice. I'm kind of joking there. I do want to ask you about Jack Sawyer, his role this year. That was an absolute steal in the fourth round. A guy we obviously love here in Columbus, Ohio. How's Jack Sawyer doing?
Really good. First start last week against Lions, played 90% of the snaps. I think if you watched that game, you saw him come screaming off the edge and made a big play in a goal-to-go situation early in that football game. So they're really excited about you know, Jack Sawyer and what he's going to bring. I think probably for the next year it's still going to be as a reserve. But, you know, as some of these contracts unfold here, unwind, you know, T.J. Watt coming to the end probably in a couple of years. We'll see what they do with Alex Highsmith. I think he has 2 years left. So I think by the time Jack's rookie contract is over, he's probably going to be in a position to start. And I think you guys are right. To get a guy like that in the fourth round, you know, he's not a prolific pass rusher, but he just really fits what the Steelers want to do at the outside linebacker position. So I expect him to get even better as he gains more experience.
A guy that is a prolific pass rusher, as we all know, is T.J. Watt. Can you kind of break down everything that's been happening with him and where he is and maybe his availability for this one up in Cleveland?
So he's been cleared to return to football, and he's been a limited participant in practice this week. And just what you hear, we haven't talked to TJ yet. He may talk after practice today. We'll see how that goes. But, you know, from everything I've heard about this injury, the surgery is you need time to build your conditioning back up. So, you know, I'm just theorizing here with this Ravens result on Saturday night. If the Ravens lose, there's no need to play T.J. Watt in a meaningless game. But listen, if the Ravens win and the pressure is on the Steelers, they don't want to take it to Week 18, maybe you could see T.J. Watt, you know, for 12, 15, 18 snaps in this game. Put him in there in pass rushing situations and see if he can make a big play for you. So we'll have a much better idea once T.J. does talk to us and let us know where he is in his rehab. But I think he is getting closer, and I think there's a small chance he could play this weekend, depending on what happens on Saturday.
This is a better question to ask you after the season, but I have to ask you now since we have games to play. Is Mike Tomlin back in the good graces of the fan base? Because I have a lot of friends that are Steeler fans, and they all wanted him out. I'm like, we can give you Zach Taylor straight up if we want to make that trade. Is he back in the good graces as of right now?
It's amazing what 3 wins in a row can do for you. That whole story kind of went away for a little bit. But, I mean, listen, they've had a tough time in the playoffs. They haven't won a playoff game since after the 2016 season. They made it to the AFC Championship game that year, and I think they're 0-6 or 0-7 since then. So it hasn't been pretty in the postseason. If they get there this year, it's going to be really interesting because they're actually starting to play well. They're a hot team. They're stopping the run. They're starting to run the ball well, and they have a quarterback who can get to the line of scrimmage and get you into a good play. So I'm not saying this is the year they are going to win a playoff game, but things are lining up where I think Steelers fans will feel better about their chances once they get there.
So we know DK won't be playing in this one, and Shefty just reporting this out of Cleveland. It looks like he's saying Browns tight end Harold Fannin Jr. suffered a groin injury today in practice up in Cleveland. So his availability is up in the air. Hey, we'll get you out of here on this one. I know having had a chance to see a ton of Derek Harmon this year, their first round pick, but last week he did play up in Detroit. What did you think of that performance, and what do you think his future may look like for Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I mean, I think if he stays healthy and he missed five games this year with two separate knee injuries, two early and then three later, but if this guy can stay healthy, he's going to be a cornerstone for their defensive line for a decade. If you watch that game, even if you didn't pull up the highlights, he went up against Penei Sewell, one of the top right tackles in the NFL, and really got the best of him on a few occasions. I mean, that was not a mismatch in any way. So Derek Harmon doing really well now that he's back from injury. And like I said, if they can figure out a way to keep him healthy in the years to come, it's going to look like a steal getting that guy at number 20 where they got him.
No doubt. Ray, as always, we appreciate your time, and have a great rest of the year. And I'm sure we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right. Happy New Year, guys.
Yeah, same to you. Ray joined us via the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Yeah, so that nugget just coming down out of Cleveland, Bids, a guy that has been really good for them as a rookie. I mean, this guy lit up college football in the MAC last year at Bowling Green. I think he led the nation in receiving yards, I believe, as a tight end a year ago. And so we were talking earlier about how we don't feel like there's going to be a lot of points in this one. You take this guy off the field for Shador, and it's looking really, really bleak. So you're a Herald fan, if you're just now hopping in, suffered a groin injury today up in Cleveland at practice.
Right on the heels of Quinshon's injury.
Yep.
This is not good, because they had a really good draft. Yeah. They really did. I mean, they hit on a lot of their draft picks. Time will tell, but I think overall they had a good draft.
No doubt. I mean, Carson Schwessinger is probably going to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. That dude's flying around every week, knocking people's heads off. And, man, I just know if you're a Browns fan, you're probably thinking, man, if JOK was out here with Schwessinger, I know that's part of the reason why you drafted Carson Schwessinger. But to your point, Andrew Berry was kind of in his bag at the draft, man. He did some really, really good things. Coming up next, we got a Buckeye Bulletin for you. You will hear from some of the guys on the Buckeye defense about their preparation and what Miami can be bringing to the field on any given, well, I guess Wednesday next week. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. I just freaked the hell out of someone. The Fan.
Once there was a man who couldn't stand.
A mom who couldn't wait.
A scientific community that said it couldn't be done.
And then you.
And then I.
And then we.
Brought neuromuscular disease into screaming color with the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
For 75 years, our voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
We've willed the impossible into existence.
We've pushed the science,
raised the funds,
shifted the narrative,
and transformed the reality of life with neuromuscular diseases.
For 75 years, we've built communities together,
established the field of neuromuscular medicine,
and made it thrive.
Call that a legacy.
Call it impact.
Call it momentum.
Just call it ours.
Because it's the generations of community heroes that give MDA the strength we have today.
And until neuromuscular disease is a thing of the past, you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
When it comes to prostate cancer, go to PCF.org for the help you need to navigate this disease and make the right decisions for yourself. Go to PCF.org today.
Diagnosed with leukemia, lymphoma, myeloma, or one of over 100 other types of blood cancer makes people want more time to do the things they love. That means more time to be artists, prom dates, world travelers, and moms. We are Blood Cancer United, the world's leading organization focused solely on blood cancer research, support, and advocacy. We do the most for more people with blood cancer, so people with blood cancer can do more of whatever they want. Blood Cancer United. Join us at bloodcancerunited.org.
Picture it.
.com.
Join our resident gambling degenerates, Dave Biddle and Scotty Vegas, for On the Money, Sunday mornings at 9.
Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
All the action, none of the responsibility.
The Fan.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services.
Don't go through another furnace breakdown.
For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day furnace installation.
All right, Bids, let's knock out a Buckeye Bulletin. Dave Biddle in the house today for AR. Buckeyes getting ready for the Hurricanes practices going on, Bids. What we got going on over there at the Woody right now?
Probably the finest stretching that we'll ever see. There's a 15-minute mandatory window for practice today that is open to the media.
Yeah.
Okay, not open to the public. It's open to the media. And then the Cotton Bowl, the CFP in general, mandates you open 15 minutes of practice. And I'd probably do the same thing if I was Ryan Day. I'm not criticizing him, but I bet you those 15 minutes will consist of stretching. But we'll get to see 15 minutes.
Yeah.
We'll get to take pictures and videos. It'll just be good seeing the Scarlet and Gray in action. I've had people say, I better not see any 13 or 14 personnel on offense. I'm like, I probably won't see it because we won't be out there when they're working on the offense.
No.
But people do not like it when they take Jeremiah Smith off the field to put like Bennett Christian on there, or take Carnell Tate off the field to put a tight end in there. So I don't think the Buckeyes are going to lean on that too heavily. But
you know when that won't happen? If Coach Day has some confidence that his O-line can hold up. Because if not, I think you're going to see it. I think you're going to see it now. In critical moments, never want to have four off the field. Never want to have Carnell Tate off the field. But if that O-line can't do their job on their own, then you got to do what you got to do as a play caller. Is anybody speaking after practice today?
No, there's no interviews. It's just 15 minutes. Boom. No,
there it is. So the line is still at 9.5 for Ohio State and Miami. They're still the favorite. You mentioned it earlier. There should be some comfort there. Obviously, they know that facility well, but Buckeye fans, I think, will be all over the place. Last year, this team had to figure it out. After the Michigan game, it was tough scenes, man. Just the emotion just around the program and just the brand. It was just so dark and heavy, right? And rightfully so, with where the rivalry was and how good that team was supposed to be leading into that game. They lived up to that after that. But here they are again, and some of the vets really have to figure it out along with the coaches and find a way to get off the mat and maybe go back-to-back and do some really good things, or great things, the way that they did a year ago. Here's Caden McDonald and everybody having to stick together.
Every day, you know, last Saturday, all the guys got together and watched the Miami and Texas A&M game, just getting that early film session in. And, you know, we always do things. You know, we love each other. Even through the hard times and bad times, we always stick together. So our guys, we really love each other.
How have you felt about the team chemistry this year, being around these guys, talking to these guys this season?
Really good. And, like, I always thought the chemistry would be good this year because of the culture Coach Day's created. I was concerned about leadership because I said last year, you know, that might be the best leadership I've seen from an Ohio State team. There's been really good leaders over the years, but just overall, even younger guys like Caleb Downs, he was absolutely a leader last year as a sophomore. And then you look at some of the veteran guys like Will Howard and Lathan and all these guys, Jack Sawyer. I mean, the epitome of great leaders, and Cody Simon. So I was a little concerned about that coming into the year, but I think they do have good leaders. Maybe not as many frontline leaders as they had last year, but the chemistry is just on point. I mean, these guys are tight, like K-Mac was saying. I think K-Mac's the best one tech in the country, by the way. That kid is awesome. This is a tight-knit group. And another thing, Maddie, I noticed this last year. Yeah, there's always going to be cliques somewhat on a sports team, especially when you have 105 guys on the team.
Right.
I don't see like a lot of cliques.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're a very tight-knit group, like K-Mac was saying.
You mentioned K-Mac, and it's amazing what this defense has gotten from an interior defensive lineman back-to-back years, right? Tyleek Williams turns himself into a first-round pick by the Detroit Lions, and here's K-Mac as just a presence. And you saw some of this last year from K-Mac, but now that he has, you know, a lot more on his plate, this dude's really taking advantage of that. We talked off the top about Miami and the team that they are down in the trenches. Here's Kenyatta Jackson on what he's seeing on tape from that Miami offensive line.
Their O-line is pretty big. They move well. 61 and 70, the two tackles, they're probably the best, you know, offensive linemen on the O-line. But as a collective, they move well, and they're pretty huge.
One of their tackles may be a top 10, top 15 type of pick. He's an absolute dude. And so I just wonder where Coach Patricia and Coach Johnson feel like they could create pressure and get home against that offensive line. That's going to be a very fun matchup to watch.
Yeah, they better give their center help. Brockermeyer is a good center. His dad played in the NFL. He transferred in from TCU. He started at Alabama. Then he went to TCU, started all 12 games at TCU last year, maybe all 13, and then transferred this year over there. But he's only like 285 pounds. Going against K-Mac, and we've seen guys that are like big centers that K-Mac just throws them back into the running back or quarterback, or sometimes he gets double teamed. He throws both guys back. That's going to be something to watch. K-Mac against their somewhat undersized but solid center.
Yeah, and you're dealing with a quarterback in Carson Beck, to where if you get that disruption from him, he's not a guy that's going to be able to run around and make a whole bunch of noise. Those guys should be getting home, and a guy like Arvell Reese can fly around and meet you wherever you need to go. Another guy that can fly around and meet the ball wherever it is center Sonny Styles. Here he is on his confidence in the front seven and their ability to create static next Wednesday.
When you look at our entire front seven, it's pretty hard just to focus on one guy. So, you know, you got Arvell, then you got K-Mac in the middle, then you got Curry, Jackson on the outside. Obviously, both our three techs in Azure and Taiwan. So it's great players all over. So it's kind of like pick your poison there. And I think that's why you see so many guys, a variety of different guys making plays each and every week. It's not really just one person every week.
This guy makes the position change last year, right? Partners up with Cody Simon. That linebacking duo was really, really solid. Then Sonny Styles takes over as kind of the leader, right? And Arvell Reese has been an absolute dog out there. But Sonny Styles is consistent as they get right now in the sport at that position. His leadership, but more importantly, just the skill set of what he brings, man. He looks like one of those linebackers you build in the lab, right? When you see him and his athletic ability and what he can do. And they've got two of those guys that you can build in a lab to play every single Saturday for you.
Yeah, I think it's the best linebacking tandem I can remember at Ohio State, because, I mean, there's been some great trios like A.J. Bobby and Schlegs. There's been many we can point to. But you look at this, I don't remember a situation where you're going to have the number one non-quarterback drafted in Arvell Reese, according to all the experts, and then your other linebacker is also a first-rounder. Yep. So you don't just have two first-rounders. You have the best non-quarterback, mm-hmm. if it plays out that way. It's so impressive. And this defense is number one in the country in every meaningful metric, scoring defense, total defense, SP+. They've got a great defensive coordinator in Matt Patricia, the pencil. I think they're going to make life very, very difficult on Miami. Miami's path to victory is like, not necessarily luck, because sometimes turnovers are not luck. That's like a defense makes a good play, but sometimes turnovers are luck. Yeah. They need like a punt return from Tony and like a, you know, a defensive touchdown or something weird. They have to win the turnover battle. I think Ohio State can play their B game and win this, because Ohio State's defense is going to be a big problem for a very limited Miami offense. And I really like Mark Fletcher, but when you have a quarterback that's no threat to run, that's not a good recipe for success against this defense. This
defense giving up less than 9 points per game all year. And so, yeah, it's going to be hard to see that. And so, yeah, just if the offensive line does their part, which is a tall task, right, for Ohio State, for sure, with what Miami brings, and they should have a comfortable day down there in Jerry's World. Top of the hour, after an update, we'll hit you with the deep dive. We've got some eliminated teams in the NFL that are pretty interesting, because some of these teams were supposed to be in the postseason, maybe making a lot of noise. Of those teams, Bids, whose Super Bowl window is still open? Whose is closed? We'll talk about it next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
When it comes to prostate cancer, go to PCF.org for the help you need to navigate this disease and make the right decisions for yourself. Go to PCF.org today.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Cashback is not available.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Nate Puderbaugh with your sports update. According to Dave Wetzel and Peter Thamel of ESPN, Michigan is zeroing in on former Utah head coach Kyle Whittingham as their next head football coach. Whittingham stepped down earlier after 21 seasons at Utah. He led the U's to an almost 67% winning percentage in an unbeaten season in 2008. In other coaching news, Ohio University has officially promoted defensive coordinator John Hauser to head coach. He coached OU to a 17-10 win over UNLV on Tuesday in the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl. Afternoon football features some Big Ten teams. Northwestern and Central Michigan are scoreless in the Game Above Sports Bowl, and Minnesota takes on New Mexico in the Rape Bowl at 4:30. Despite Donovan Mitchell's 34-point effort, the Cavs fell to the Knicks on Christmas when Mitchell missed a game-ending three-pointer. The Cavs return to the court Saturday night to take on the Rockets in Houston. And the NHL continues their winter break. The CBJ return to the ice this Sunday. Breaking sports news, what happens on The Fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
Mo Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Low T Center. Low T Center, reinventing men's health care.
Welcome back in. Hour number three of the program. Dave Biddle's been in the house today cooking for our guy AR. Bottom of the hour, 2:30. Joe DeLeon, A to Z Sports, does an awesome job covering college football and the NFL draft. We'll talk to him about the CFP, the latest news coming out of Ann Arbor, where it feels like bids. Kyle Whittingham is about to be the newest head coach for Michigan. And it was funny because I just remembered just how crazy that game was against Utah, the Rose Bowl, a few years ago, right? Final score of that one, 48-45, and just the box score is just laughable in a good way. When you look at C.J. Stroud, 37-46, 573, six touchdowns, and then JSN, 15 catches, 347, three touchdowns. He had 16 targets in the game, so only one touched the grass when C.J. was going his way with the Rock. Marvin in that game, 6 for 71 and three, and then, oh, a guy by the name of Emeka was playing as well, three catches for 46, but just that offensive explosion in that one. I know the defensive coordinators were hating life that day, but I was enjoying watching the fireworks. Yeah, but CJ to JSN that day was just special, man. Special.
347. That's an all-time record in college football in a bowl game for receiving yards. JSN 347. It's too bad he's not doing anything in the NFL. Oh, wait. He's going to be the leading receiver in the NFL and is going to be a very rich man.
He is about to get the bag this all season. And rightfully so. This is why they drafted him. They drafted him to be this guy. Cleared the runway, got rid of Lockett, got rid of DK Metcalf. Let's see what you got. And he said, this is what I got. So now it's time for you to pay up. So he's about to be a well-paid man out there living in Seattle. That's for sure.
It's one thing after another, man. The good thing, I know Heartland's going to USF, but it's unbelievable what he's done. And it's even going to continue now that he's gone, like with Jeremiah Smith next year. And then Chris Henry Jr. after that is going to keep going. But it's been one after another. Sometimes it's been two first-round picks with Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. Marvin Harrison Jr., it's one after the other. Emeka Buka is one of the finalists for Rookie of the Year in the NFL. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable what they've done. Not just getting five-star receivers, but then developing them into studs. And not just developing them into studs, developing into guys that are going to take the NFL by storm as rookies. Yeah. Garrett Wilson, I think, would be one of the top wide receivers if he didn't have a complete mess at quarterback his career so far. Yeah. So it's incredible what they've done with wide receivers.
And Chris Olave just showed you last week that you get anybody that's just competent under center in New Orleans, I can pop off in this way too. And glad that he's been available on the field, had some of the concussion stuff going on, which is always scary. But yeah, to your point, man, these dudes absolutely are ready to go when they leave the lab here in Columbus. I want to ask you this, Bids, because, you know, we always look ahead in sports and sometimes we do it too much, but I'm going to do it right now because you do a great job covering Ohio State. Your thoughts on just the quarterback room. Obviously, it'll be Julian's team next year, but where this thing could be headed in a couple years. We never know. The portal is a powerful thing right now, so there could be a lot of moving and shaking going on. But what are your thoughts on some of the bodies that are in the room and where that could be headed in the next couple years?
Yeah, I won't be surprised if Lincoln transfers. I also won't be surprised if he comes back. He's got 2 years left. Is he going to do what Devin Brown did? You know, is he going to be more of like a Justin Zwick? Stick around, just be a Buckeye, and you know, if Troy never got hurt, but if he did, you know, Jay-Z would have been ready. I tend to think Lincoln's going to transfer if I had to bet on it, maybe to an Iowa, something like that. I believe in Tavian St. Clair. You know, he'll have 4 years of eligibility after this one. If he's really good, maybe he won't need all four of those years, but big, strong kid. He's got a cannon for an arm, very mature. He's tough. The one concern that I have and had and still have is that he played such a not tiny school. Bell Fountain's not a tiny school. They're Division III, so it's like same thing as like London, Ohio, for example. So it's not like a tiny school, but it's also not a big school. Competition wasn't that great. So it might take, you know, this would be perfect timing. I don't know if he'd be ready as a redshirt freshman, Matt, but I think as a third-year sophomore, he'll be ready to go. And I like the kid they have coming in next year. I think he's a little underrated, Luke Fahey. I think he's a guy that maybe people have overlooked a little bit, young man from California, especially you weren't going to get another five-star because they have Edmonds in the class after that. He's a five-star. They got Tavian St. Clair the previous class, five-star. Even for Ryan Day, that would have been tough sledding to get five stars, you know, in like four straight classes. I considered Julian Sand part of that recruiting class, even though he was technically a transfer. But you look at Luke Fahey from Mission Viejo, California, not a big guy listed, 6'185", but he's a baller. And he's only a three-star prospect, but I've heard he's very, very underrated. So he'll be in the mix maybe after Julian. It'll probably be a Fahey, St. Clair battle, presuming that Lincoln Keenholz does not stick around for the next 2 years.
It's just funny, man, how things just change in the blink of an eye in this sport right now. And you remember when Fran Brown, the head coach for Syracuse, was like, hey, maybe I need to send, you know, champagne bottle over to Ryan Day for Kyle McCord going. Maybe the same thing could be said for Day to save, right? You retired, and here comes Caleb Downs and Julian Sand, and here they are, maybe ready to go back-to-back, and that guy will be back next year and probably even better. It's just wild, the sport of college football right now.
Day could have regifted that to Kansas State for Will Howard.
True that.
Thank you very much.
True that.
Yeah, because they chose Avery Johnson.
Yeah, they did. They probably, hey, we're paying this kid. It's time to see what he's got.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And Kyle McCord led the nation in passing yards. When I said he was a nation's leading passer, I always clarify. It's like, yeah, he also led the nation in interceptions, attempts. Did
so
not
really
have that
Brett
good of a quarterback.
Thing?
They just didn't run the ball at all at Syracuse. No. It's like, I still maintain Ohio State would not have won the national championship with Kyle McCord.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah, Will Howard was like a great college quarterback, but he was what that team needed. They needed somebody that could run the ball at the quarterback position. And
I disagree. I actually think he was very underrated. I thought he was really, really good. Now, the offensive line in the playoffs last year was the headline for me. Like, he had, especially against Tennessee, he had all day to throw. But, man, I know that when he's throwing the ball to Jeremiah Smith in the end zone, the headline is, oh, Jeremiah Smith, true freshman. Will Howard had some crazy good throws last year.
Oh, in the CFP, I've said this before, and I say this as a huge Joe Burrow fan. He almost turned into like a pseudo Joe Burrow in those four games. You know, making plays with his legs, keeping plays alive, dropping dimes where it's like you couldn't have handed the ball any better. But if you look at the regular season, I would say that wasn't the same Will Howard. He was good in the regular season. But you're right, man. He turned into a great quarterback in the CFP when it really mattered. I mean, think about some of those passes he was making. Remember when he dropped that one over the middle on third down and winked over at the sideline? Yeah, that was a great, that was an NFL pass. The one to Emeka.
Against Oregon, the second one?
Yes.
I think that was his throw of the year. You go back and look at that one. The third and 11 was the throw of the year. But that touchdown to Emeka, the ball placement was insane.
That's one of those rare plays where the quarterback threw a perfect ball, the DB had perfect coverage, and the wide receiver made a perfect play.
Yeah.
I mean,
he
couldn't have thrown
defender.
The ball any better. He got his hand on a DB, and Emeka caught it with one hand and then had to kind of juggle it and still kept it for the touchdown.
I still contend, and I'm not going full Adam King. Oh, Will Howard's going to win a Super Bowl in the next 15 years. I'm not doing that. I still contend if mock drafts did not exist, Ohio State fans would have turned on the NFL draft expecting Will Howard to be a first-round pick. I think,
or at least a second round. I thought he might go like third round. You're right. I would have guessed second round, if not for mock drafts. And I was saying, I bet someone's going to take him in the third round.
You guys remember how hyped up he was getting by Pat McAfee? I mean, week in and week out on his show was going to bat for Will Howard. Like, why is nobody talking about this guy? What are we doing with Will Howard? Then you had the clunky performance at the combine. Came here and cleaned it up for
Pro
Day.
I forgot about that.
That was a tough look for him. But to your guy's point of like what he. What he put on tape, though, at the most important time was crazy. And I'm with you, Biz. Like, as far as the ceiling for last year's offense, it's not as high with Kyle there. Like, Kyle, the arm talent, you can respect, and I think they would have figured it out in time with the talent that they had. But the respect you had to pay to what you mentioned with adding maybe an extra body to the box with the two-headed monster of Quinshon and Travion and Will, it just opened up so many things for that offense, and his experience too, because I think that played a factor into his ability to lock back in. Because if that's a young quarterback dealing with everything that was swirling around the program, and especially the offense, because remember the he didn't play well in that Michigan game. No. The interception that led to the doorstep of a touchdown for Michigan, like, that was impressive to me, is what you guys talked about with how he just locked back in physically but mentally as well to come out on the other side. I think that showed itself because he had some seasoning to him.
Yeah, like during the regular season, it was like with Will, there was always like two or three times a game, like where it was like, oh, geez, what is he doing there? Like some knucklehead play that he'd make. And then in the CFP, there was none of that. And McAfee, I don't think, watched him that much up close until the CFP, because ESPN didn't have the rights to the games until then. And he's seeing this, he's like, why is this guy? He's like 6'4", 2'4". Why is he not a first-round pick?
Right. Yeah, Pat McAfee also thinks that there should be like 364 first-round picks. He's not going to say anything bad about anybody.
And some of them should be punters, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, no doubt. It's just, you look at what the portal can do for it. No matter who you are, you're Vandy, you're Ohio State, and especially at that position, they've crushed it back-to-back here with Julian, and then even going back to Justin Fields, even. You can bring that up, right? With him coming from Georgia, just the ability to get right now talent is available for you no matter who you are. Coming up next in pre-snap reads, we'll finish out our NFL picks and lock in on our bet of the day with Bet365. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Never have I been so excited to get a whiff of sweaty jock straps.
It's Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Yay, Football, The Fan.
Some journeys start small, with small pause and big purpose.
Look how cute you fly, sweet girl.
Every great partnership begins with the first step.
Bella, let's go.
Guiding them through the world so one day they can guide someone through life. With shared experience, confidence grows, and the path becomes clear. It takes time, patience, and love. But the reward lasts a lifetime.
Good girl, Bella.
You don't just raise a puppy. You raise a future. Become a Dog's Ink puppy raiser. Give a dog a purpose. Give someone hope.
Learn more at dogsinc.org.
Hey guys, 13-year NFL veteran and Super Bowl champion Jason McCourty here, and I'm an innovation ambassador at FAIR, Food Allergy and Research Education. I would say the most challenging thing as a parent of a kid who has a food allergy is probably the ignorance that I myself had in the beginning. I didn't know what anaphylactic shock was. I didn't know the dangers, let alone the things that she needed to be able to have a normal life. When you go to drop your kid off, and every single time in the beginning, we'd have to go through everything she was allergic to. Preparation is everything. And me, for playing football for 13 years, it was all throughout the course of the week. It's getting ready for game day. When you're on the field, you're playing for your fans. At home, you're playing for your family. My playbook, read labels, keep it allergy friendly, and have an epinephrine nasal spray as a backup plan. Because when my family's safe from food allergens, that's the real victory. Visit foodallergy.org to learn more.
Your child is sick. With those four words, the innocence and joy of childhood disappears. But Starlight has taught us four other words that make all the difference. The power of play. Happy kids heal faster. That's why Starlight Children's Foundation delivers happiness through gaming, toy deliveries, and more to hospitals across the country. Learn more at starlight.org.
Hey, it's Anthony, and it's
Tom.
Common Man and Timmy, they're good, clean boys. If you enjoy a radio show hosted by immature men with slightly above average sports knowledge, they've got you covered.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We are going to see some patchy fog linger, otherwise scattered showers today and cloudy skies with daytime highs getting into the low 60s and breezy winds. For tonight, mostly cloudy overnight with our lows in the 30s, and then for Saturday, we'll start the weekend dry and mostly cloudy with highs in the mid to upper 40s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Rothman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing.
Call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF. That's 614-NEW-ROOF.
Or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, before we get into our pre-snap reads for today, let me talk to you folks about the wonderful folks at Bet365, because they got an awesome deal waiting for new customers right now, where all you have to do, folks, is bet $5. That's probably a better option. It's bet $5. After that, you're going to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could take that $150 and then turn it into something bigger and better when you bet on spreads, totals, player props, or money line bids. I'm locked in on this Bengals-Cardinals game. I love looking for anytime touchdowns. I absolutely love it. You and I think there's going to be a lot of points put up on the scoreboard in this one. I'm looking at Michael Wilson. Michael Wilson may be one of the best fantasy pickups of the year, if not the best fantasy pickup of the year. He scored a touchdown in three straight games. I like the value on his anytime touchdown at plus 165.
Ooh, I love that. I thought you were going to tell me it was like even money going against the Bengals. Ooh, I love that.
Plus 165.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you on that.
Anybody else you're interested in that game that can find an anytime tutty for you?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. You know, is man, I'm sure Jamar Chase is like minus.
He is minus 150. Hasn't scored a touchdown in five straight games.
Okay, maybe. So I do like when an absolute elite player is due, even if it's in baseball. I did kind of mess up. I was doing it a lot when Ellie hadn't hit a home run in a month. I'm like, oh, he's due, and I kept doing it. And then he went another month without hitting a home run, so that wasn't smart. But a lot of times that works for me, so, I like that.
Okay.
Minus 150, Jamar Chase. What's Chase Brown?
Chase Brown is minus 160.
Okay.
I'll tell you who else I'm kind of interested in this one. I kind of like Gesicki's value.
I was just about to say
that. Okay, so Gesicki scored a tutty in two of the last three games. Juice on that is plus 250.
That's good value.
Okay.
Because he was also hurt for a while.
Yes.
And then he's come back and you know, and Burrow likes him.
He does.
That's the reason he's so a Bengals, because Burrow wanted him.
Let's go Mike Wilson or Michael Wilson.
Do you want him enough to give him a contract extension too, like everybody else that Burrow wants?
I mean, they signed him for way too much. They signed him to a 3-year contract. I'm like, I mean, it wasn't like it was like they broke the bank, but it was like, why are you giving a tight end like $9 million a year when you just paid T. Higgins like he's a number one and paid Jamar Chase like he is the best receiver ever?
He wasn't great in Miami, was he? Gesicki?
He was like, okay.
He was
to your point, he wasn't.
Not a 3-year deal.
I think he had one pro. I know. And you're already paying your wide receivers. You can't then just pay especially, it'd be one thing if you're getting like one heck of a great blocking tight end, right? You're getting a pass first, a receiving first tight end. Yeah, they already gave him a 3-year contract.
The Cincinnati Burrow's friends.
Yeah. What number nine wants, number nine gets.
Joe Burrow's the new Aaron Rodgers. Just, hey, man, who are your friends?
Bring all the homies.
Minus the winning. Well, they had a couple good years there. They went to the Super Bowl, got to the AFC Championship game, and then I blame it mostly on Duke Tobin in the front office. They've had some terrible.
Yes.
Like Shamar Stewart, we were talking to Ray from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Yeah. It's like, dude, when you're talking about Harmon, that's who I wanted. You're like, well, he's been hurt.
Yeah.
Well, Shamar Stewart's been hurt, and when he's healthy, he's terrible.
And he's been hurt all year.
That was the typical Bengals pick, wasn't it? Oh, yeah. He wasn't productive in college, but look at him.
We're smarter than everybody.
We're the Cincinnati Bengals. It's like, dude, this guy had 1.5 sacks each year.
I know. They bought it. Go ahead.
He's like a combine warrior. That's a typical Bengals pick right there.
We see franchises do this, though. They fall in love with the traits, right? Like, you can look at the Colts. They fell in love with the traits with Anthony Richardson. The sample size was small. The positive production was small as well. And just those guys are just so tantalizing, right? It's so sexy to see. Because he looks the part. Shamar Stewart, like,
he does.
Looks the part. But to your point, give me somebody that's got something on their resume. Something on their resume. But look, you nailed it, man. Like, coming out of that Super Bowl, going to the AFC title game after that, it was so important to just hit on young, talented players on defense because the offense was figured out and they just haven't been able to do it. And they pointed the finger at Lou, and Lou's showing us, you give me respectable talent in this league, I'll give you an above-average defense. We may not be the best in the league, but it's not going to be as bad as it is and has been in Cincinnati the last few years.
It's amazing. I know he's an offensive coach, but Zach Taylor is the head coach of the Bengals. He's in his 7th year, and he gets like no blame at all for them having an historically bad defense. It's like, man, I don't know how that happens, and you're right. They're like, well, Lou Anarumo was the problem. When they went to the Super Bowl, everybody was saying it's because of Joe Burrow and Lou Anarumo.
Right. Yeah.
That defense was really good. They had some good talent, too.
And he's in Indy now, right?
He's in Indy. Yeah, and I know their defense was awful. Again, I don't think they stopped the 49ers at all throughout the entire game. But
no, they didn't get their first stop until 4:37 left in the fourth quarter on a tip drill interception.
Okay, they did get one. I was watching most of that game. Yeah, and it's not like Anarumo's doing a great job, but like, thinking he was the problem in Cincinnati, it's like, no, drafting is the problem. Head coach is the problem.
And letting guys like Jesse Bates walk and Von Bell walk and guys like that. I am curious, though, where they are real quick, that being the Colts. I want to see where they're at in points per game right now. And so it's not great. They are about 23 points per game right now, giving up. Would you like to guess where your Cincinnati Bengals are at the moment?
32nd.
30.5, last place in the NFL in points.
Oh, I thought you meant what?
So yeah, they're
ranking.
Dead
last. Right.
You're
dead
right.
Last.
They're dead last.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
When you said 30, I'm like, they're actually tied with somebody.
No, that's
way better than I thought.
I thought this was an over under.
No, you're right. No,
30.5 the place.
They're the 33rd best defense in the NFL.
Exactly.
Wait, there's only 32 teams. Yep. That's right. Ohio State's defense is better than theirs.
So 30.5 they give up per game. I mean, there's three teams in the AFC North that are in the bottom, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in points per game allowed. The Bengals, the Steelers, and the Ravens. Ravens giving up 23. Steelers giving up 23. And so, yeah, the AFC North, you can get after some of these defenses.
Bengals got who? Arizona?
Yes.
All right, here's your bar. You need to hold them under 19 points because the Cowboys have already played this week. And so they, because of that, they've allowed more points and they've jumped up to number one. If you hold the Cardinals to 18 or less, the Cowboys can pass you for the worst defense in the league.
I don't want that to happen. I want them to have shame on their face. This has been a historically bad defense. I don't want any dead cat bouncing to have any effect. Oh, we're fine. We're 31st.
I don't think they're going to make any changes.
They're not going to.
I don't think they're
going to
fire Al Gold.
You're totally right. They're not going to fire Zach Taylor. They're not going to fire Duke Tobin, who's like, I think he was like adopted by the Brown family, the way they treat him. It's like, seriously, they're not doing anything. And no one should be surprised. I mean, Marvin Lewis overall was solid. He took over an absolute disaster. But 16 years, zero playoff wins. I think there's one franchise in the NFL that would have kept him for 16 years. And he was 0-7 in the playoffs, and that was the Bengals. So it's, when Zach Taylor, when he was the head coach of the team that went to the Super Bowl, I won't say he led them to the Super Bowl. I was like, oh, he just got a lifetime contract.
Crazy, man. Zach's got 2 years left on his deal. They're not the franchise to me that feels like they're going to pay a coach to not be their coach. And so they're not going to, I don't think they're paying a guy to be at home just cashing checks and then paying another head coach as well. I don't see them doing that. So I think you're right. I think they'll let him see this through because I think they have confidence in what his strength is and what his strength is offense. And they sit back more times than not and watch a good offense. But like we just brought up, he's making these hires on defense. And so the hire of the defensive coordinator combined with Duke Tobin in the front office not hitting home run, not even home run, just hit doubles, maybe in some singles with some of these draft picks. And then you'd probably be in much better position. And then the other elephant in the room, too, is number nine's got to be available, right? He's got these injuries that have been piling up since he came into the league. And so, yeah, man, when that is right, when he is there, you can beat almost anybody, but they've just been asking way too much from the offense. The defense has got to lock in. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only, must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
And may the odds be ever in your favor.
All right, TLC, we can probably knock out these next, what, three games we got here before Monday Night Football?
Sure.
All right.
All right, here we go. Battle for the number one pick, by the way. Giants minus one in Las Vegas.
If you're the Giants, go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, there is an IR off between these two teams right now. Brock Bowers went to IR, and the Giants put a few more on.
Max Crosby's coming out saying he doesn't care about the number one pick. His job is to be the best D-end in the league, and I respect the heck out of that. Question. Giants get the number one pick. They trading out of that to get assets since they have their guy in-house already?
Yes.
Probably what you do, right?
Especially when I don't think there is a surefire. Is Mendoza pretty much the consensus to go to? And I think he's going to be a good, but
yeah, I like Moore if he comes out.
I like Dante Moore as well. And like, but are we convinced that they're going to be better than Jackson Dart? You know, you already have a good NFL quarterback as a rookie. That's hard to find. Yeah, I would go with Dart and I would trade that pick and load up on assets. Yep.
I'm going to go with the Giants on the road. I'll lay that point. Essentially a pick 'em.
I'm with you.
The entire nation will have access to Eagles at Bills in the 425 window. Burkhart and Brady, Bills minus one.
Give me Bills at home. That's going to be a really good one. Give me Bills at home. Yes.
We just talked about the Bengals swinging and missing on picks inside their window. I mean, Keon Coleman for the Bills. They're getting nothing from him. He was a healthy scratch last week. But Josh Allen and Cook, I think, can do enough in this one. I'll go with the Bills at home as well.
And just for you, Ice, because I know that you enjoy this, Keon Coleman was the receiver they drafted after they traded down out of the Xavier Worthy pick.
Hey, that bid's insane. You do business with the Chiefs. A team that's been in your way, you give them an elite playmaker and Worthy. I'll never get it. I'll never get that.
I didn't care about that until they drafted a receiver. It's like, why'd you trade down just to take another receiver?
But I just don't want to help them in any way. You know, a team that we've been clashing in AFC title games, I just would never do business with them.
All right, and then we got Sunday Night Football. Chicago is in San Francisco. San Fran minus three.
I like the Niners in that one.
Okay.
Yeah. On the road. Yeah, Bears on the road. Bears have been overachieving this year. They've been very good.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't even say overachieving. I mean, that was a really home run hire. Yeah, but give me the Niners at home, minus three.
I'll roll with you on that. You can get after that Bears secondary a little bit. Purdy's coming off a good game. They've got some confidence. I'll roll with them as well. Coming up in 2 minutes, a lot happening around the world of college football. Joe DeLeon covers the sport very well at A to Z Sports. We'll talk to him next in 2 minutes. It's Rothman and Ice right here.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Want to jinx your favorite sports team?
Please get out of my Van Halen t-shirt before you jinx the pen and they break up.
Just ask Maddie to print your shirts.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Gonna light up right now the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Bring on one of our favorites, Joe DeLeon from A to Z Sports. Does an awesome job covering college football and the NFL draft. Joe, happy holidays, my man. How we feeling?
Good, good. Happy holidays to you guys as well.
Yeah, man. Appreciate your time as always. Let's start in the Big Ten. I'm sure you've seen the news floating around today that Michigan kind of feels like they're getting close to hiring their new head coach, and it seems like that's going to be Kyle Whittingham, Utah's former head coach. Your thoughts on that fit if it officially happens?
Yeah, I think that for the circumstance and everything that's going on, and there's obviously a million layers that come into this. I mean, this is a tremendous hire. I don't know if we have enough context to know if Kyle Whittingham's the type of coach that can actually go on to win a national championship. Didn't have the same level of resources at Utah as he's about to have at Michigan. But the reason why this makes sense is we look at the timeline. When they fired Sherrone Moore, it was well after all these big brands, one of the craziest coaching searches that carousels that we've ever seen with the amount of big brands that were open. And then on top of that, with the amount of quality candidates that decided to go back to whatever school that they started at with gigantic extensions and increased resources. There was just not enough of a pool for Michigan. There were going to be very, very small number of guys that they could have called up and at least gotten interest from. And Kenny Dillingham decides that he's better off sticking in Arizona State and continuing to represent them. And the Kalen DeBoer thing, I felt, was never really true. It was just a bit of a pipe dream. The fact that they didn't have anyone, they could go and get a coach who was one of the most steadiest coaches in college football when he was leading Utah, that's a great outcome here. And the fact that you don't even have to pay a buyout, you don't have to go and pull him away from his current school, him willingly stepping away times up perfectly that, you know, he's saying that he just didn't want to be the guy who stuck around too long and he upgrades into a better job. I think the last part with this that I like it, Utah has always been one of the better brands, more underrated brands in the sport, but Whittingham's team has always had really, really good culture. And I think that with not just the Sherrone Moore situation, but all of the problems that have been going on since Harbaugh left to go to the NFL, you need a complete reset. And I think that Whittingham, the type of coach that he is, could come in and immediately reset things, clear house, and get this program right back on the right track.
Joe, looking at the college football playoff, I feel like we have a really good Elite Eight, so to speak. How many of these teams do you think are legit national championship contenders?
Right now, I think that the teams that are legit title contenders that have, I see three. I see Georgia, I see Ohio State, and I see Indiana. And I think that the remaining teams, the remaining five, have cases to be made for them, but they need a lot of things to go right. I think that, you know, we look at Miami and Alabama and Texas Tech, and we've seen for all those programs, and especially Oregon, where they had stretches this year where they were one of the best teams in the country. And then they hit a lull and some of their weaknesses started to show up, whether that was through injury, whether that was just through general regression. Any of those five teams need to get back on track and you know, rectify some of the problems that held them back. A run is possible. But to answer the more specifically, the three teams that I mentioned, Georgia to me is the best of the group. They're the hottest team in college football right now since they figured out their pass rush, how they can get after opposing quarterbacks. They've been very, very aggressive defensively. Their run game has been phenomenal. Gunnar Stockton has been very underrated and for the big plays that he makes for this Georgia team that has propelled them to this point. I think that they're ultimately going to be the team to beat. But as we've seen, Ohio State's defense is loaded with future NFL talent. And if Julian Sayin can limit turnovers and they can run the ball effectively with Bo Jackson, a national title repeat is in sight for them. Lastly, with Indiana, they're so fundamentally sound on both sides of the ball. That is what is always going to give them an edge against anybody they play. They can get into situations where game is tight, it's low scoring, but they'll execute on very specific instances when they need to. And I think it all comes down to having the clutchest player in the playoff field, and that being Fernando Mendoza, who multiple times this season delivered in really, really crucial situations.
Joe DeLeon from A to Z Sports joining us here on The Fan, talking all things college football, getting ready for the college football playoff that starts next Wednesday with Ohio State and Miami. Joe, take that's been out there that's kind of caught the ear of Buckeye Nation a little bit is David Pollack coming out and saying that what he's seen on tape leads him to believe that Miami can control the game down at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. When you look at Miami on their offense and defensive lines, just talk about what those type of challenges that they could pose against the old Scarlet and Gray.
Yeah, I agree with Pollack on this. I think that Ohio State ultimately wins. The line on this game has been quite wide, multiple scores, and there's been a little bit of movement there on that line. I think Miami's going to cover. I think it's going to be a tight game for what you just brought up there. The thing with Miami, and this kind of alludes to the last talking point that we just had, the beginning of the season, they showed that they were the most balanced team in college football. And they, at the time, were the most tested going up against Florida and Florida State and Notre Dame. They regressed in the middle of the year, and their secondary didn't play as well. And the way that they played against Texas A&M reminded me a lot of how they looked at the beginning of the season. It comes down to both lines of scrimmage, as Pollack has talked about. Their offensive line has been a mauling group. And when they get pushed and they get their heads downhill and they're really driving guys off the ball, they can run the ball really effectively to punish opposing teams and to do it at the right moments, like they did against Texas A&M. Their defensive line, I would argue, is top two, one of the most dangerous outside of Ohio State's in the college football playoff field at the current moment. Mezidor, Bain, and David Blay, who does not get enough hype, one of their interior defensive linemen, that unit is so overpowering with the way that they're able to consistently produce disruption and the way that their linebackers then can capitalize on that against the run when they're sending pressure. I think that he's right in saying that against this Ohio State team, who we watched in the Big Ten championship game, give up five sacks on Julian Sam, not have consistency running the ball in situations when they needed to, it is absolutely possible that Miami could do what they did against Texas A&M against Ohio State. I think that the separation, though, is that you've got a Jeremiah Smith and a Carnell Tate that if it does come down to a one-score game, one of those guys can come up with a play that wins them the game.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, Ohio State only gave up six sacks, as you said, throughout the regular season. Then they gave up five against Indiana. I don't know if that's an aberration. I think Indiana's really good. Really good. But, I mean, I feel like overall Ohio State's been good in pass pro, and then they were just awful against Indiana. So it's going to be interesting to see, because you're right. They've got a fantastic defensive line, Miami does.
Well, and this is part of my whole thoughts on this game is that Ohio State's offensive line looked tremendous. And I know there's been some shuffling based on injuries with who's been a part of that offensive line. And the first time that they were tested, they struggled. I do think that it leans more on the side of it being an aberration, because you've got all those games where you're playing so well and then suddenly, you know, you play poorly. I think it would be too volatile to assume that their first real test, they completely collapsed when, you know, they played pretty solidly against Texas at the beginning of the year. But the thing that should be daunting for Ohio State fans is that the Indiana defensive line in front seven is not as physically gifted and as talented as the Miami one. I think that Indiana is more fundamentally sound, which is why they were able to produce success. If they just didn't allow any broken plays, they didn't allow for anything to leak through. The difference with Miami is that you've got a number of guys with Mezidor and with Bain and across this whole front that could go on to be drafted in the top 150 picks in the upcoming draft. There's speed, there's athleticism, there's explosiveness. If you allow them to enter third and long situations where they're pinning their ears back and they're going after sand, I think that is a recipe for disaster. They got to get the run game going. And it never really made sense to me why Bo Jackson only had 17 carries in the Big Ten championship game, why they weren't leaning on him more. He was averaging 4.9 yards per carry in that game. I think if you run the ball and you can get that rhythm going early, it's going to take a lot of pressure off of Saiyan, and it's going to make things a lot easier.
All right, we'll get you out of here on this one. Let's take a look, peek around the corner just a bit to some draft stuff, because I know you do that very well. And here's just a question I have for you. You're running a franchise that has the number one overall pick in the upcoming draft, and you need a quarterback. Who are you sending in the card for?
If you need a quarterback, it's Mendoza for me. And I think that when we look at Mendoza and Moore, both are solid options. Neither is really going to fit into that bucket of a Drake May or a Josh Allen type prospect that can be an elite top three player at the position. But I think that you're getting more of like a Jared Goff, where either of them can elevate your team and keep them steady. And as long as you got the right pieces around them, the separation for me though is both these guys who have had a number of spots where they've made a lot of big plays. They've got really good touch. They've got really good instincts. They've got really good ball placement in the way that they play. Mendoza for me has so many more, not significantly more, but more instances of clutch playmaking. And I feel like that's something that we don't talk about enough when we evaluate quarterback prospects. How are you going to play when the game is on the line? And, you know, if it's in the playoffs and or even in the Super Bowl, if you have context of a guy doing that in college, I think that that should be incredibly important. The way that he did it against Penn State on that game-winning drive, the way that he did it twice against Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game, the aggressiveness to be willing to take shots and to attack tight windows is something that it plagues talented quarterbacks with bigger arms and better athletic tools, guys that just don't have that that mental trigger to know how to do it and be willing to do it. I think that Mendoza has that, and that is where that separation comes from. He reminds me a lot of Matt Ryan. I think that he can be a high-level starter in the NFL, maybe never enters into that top 10 mix, but could be just a really, really good quarterback who, with the right roster around him, could lead to a team to consistent playoff success and get them to a Super Bowl.
There it is. It's great stuff. He's Joe DeLeon from A to Z Sports, covers the draft and college football very, very well. Joe, happy holidays, man. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Appreciate it. Joe joined us via the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll hit the finish line of the show in week next with Tell the Truth. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
Your mama say you ugly. Hey!
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Hey there! Jane Lynch here. Want to hear something funny? Too bad. Want to hear something uplifting that will inspire you? Good. Because today, I want to talk to you about Direct Relief, a humanitarian organization that does seriously good work when it counts. Fires, hurricanes, earthquakes. When disaster strikes, Direct Relief immediately shows up with medicines, medical supplies, and everything doctors and nurses need to save lives. Let's ship her out! Every day across the United States and around the world, they're making an enormous difference. If someone needs help, Direct Relief helps. No politics, no red tape. Hey, what you doing over there?
Oh, I'm packing insulin for kids with diabetes.
See, every box here is literally a lifeline for someone in critical need. So check them out at directrelief.org. You might just bring a smile to someone's face.
Picture it.
Calm. T-Bone and Tybus.
Look at that box. I see it. No way you eat all them.
You know, you said you got to be two something to do something. Well, to eat that, you got to be three something to do something.
T-Bone and Tybus Mornings on the Fan is sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable.
The Fan.
Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, get 50% off all window styles from Window Nation at windownation.com.
All right, TLC, take us to the crib. What do you got cooked up today? And Tell the Truth.
All right.
Yeah.
Every list at the top of my Google search has the exact same three names at the top of their list. Okay. Who is a comedian that you do not find funny at all?
Will Ferrell.
That is 100% correct. Mm-hmm. That's not on the list. I just agree with you.
Okay, that is
that's my opinion.
I know people don't like that take. It's just TLC. We're on an island by ourselves with that one. I just...
Anchorman?
Great movie.
Okay.
Great movie, for sure.
Okay.
I just think his body of work, to me, I don't crack up a lot at Will Ferrell.
These You Can Go Your O Way commercials can go to hell.
Oh my God. What about Ma the Meatloaf? It's one of my favorite movie scenes.
Okay, like it
and just his character there is so funny. He's like, nah, I live with my mom. You know, he comes down, he's got like the really hot girlfriend all of a sudden. The whole thing is just hilarious.
Like, Elf does nothing for me. Like, I like
the movie.
I just love the movie, actually. Not a Will Ferrell guy, though. That's what I am.
You know, different strokes for different folks. That's fine. Yeah. It's like, you know, I think this is the fan poll. Like, it's like Christmas movie. No, wait a minute. Christmas Vacation. Like, what's the favorite Christmas movie?
Oh,
Christmas
Vacation. That if you want.
Yeah, let's do it.
What do you got?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do the fan poll. What do you consider to be the best Christmas movie? Your options: Elf, Christmas Vacation, It's a Wonderful Life, or Other. I will go with the one of those that I've seen, Elf.
Okay.
I'm tempted to go Christmas Vacation. I'll go Other, but I need to think between a couple. I do have a story about It's a Wonderful Life. It's a funny story that my wife terrorized my daughters a few years ago. She's like, we have to sit down and watch It's a Wonderful Life. And they all hated it. They still talk about it. My wife's like, I don't know why I thought it was a good movie. She's like, it's the most overrated, sad movie in the world, and it's long. My daughters hated it. So that's like a, you know, in my house, It's a Wonderful Life is it's a terrible movie.
I think I've got two that will qualify in the other category. So I'm going to go Jim Carrey's The Grinch.
That's a good one.
And then Home Alone didn't make the cut, huh?
There's always a debate.
Home Alone.
Is that a debate? And there's I don't like the Die Hard debate. I don't think that's
not a Christmas
just because
movie.
It occurs around. But I mean,
there are some debates that are just like such radio topics. Like every week at the Super Bowl, we have to do the bone in or boneless wings. What do you prefer at your Super Bowl party? And on Christmas week,
only crazy people say boneless, right?
Bone in?
No, it's boneless.
I'm
chicken nuggets. Fingers dirty.
You like chicken nuggets more than you like a real boneless. Wings.
Who cares? It doesn't change. This whole myth of like the bone makes it taste better. It tastes the same. It's a sauce.
No, it's juicier.
It is. It's levels ever. To this.
I can tell I've eaten more wings than you because you're in good shape.
Listen, I like boneless wings, but bone in is that's the move.
Yeah,
that's always the move.
Just stick a fork in it and then dunk it in your blue cheese. Oh, you gotta have the ranch or blue cheese debate on Super Bowl week too. Got to do that.
Both.
Gotta have sure.
Both. I can't pick.
I'm not a picky eater at all.
Yeah, I can't pick between the two. Can I hit you with an honorable mention?
Go for it.
Sneaky good Christmas movie, Office Christmas Party, with Jennifer Aniston and Jason Bateman. Olivia Munn's in that, too.
Ooh.
That is, to me, a sneaky, funny, easy-watch Christmas movie, Office Christmas Party. So if you're bored this weekend, maybe throw that on and, you know, when you're going to sleep. May get a couple laughs out of it.
I'm seeing 2016, so it's newish.
I'm going to have to check that out. You already given me where I'm going to go to get my meal next. You're hooking me up.
Yeah, Office Christmas Party is never going to be up there with some of the classics that we've mentioned in the fan poll. It's just something for me that I enjoy watching. Office Christmas Party. Check it out.
To whom it may concern, the three comedians who are at the top of basically every single list of the most unfunny comedians are Amy Schumer, Dane Cook, and Carlos Mencia.
Those are correct. Carlos Mencia, who's known for stealing jokes. Amy Schumer is known for stealing, for stealing jokes. And then Dane Cook, not funny. And I am a huge, huge fan of stand-up comedy. Dave Chappelle just dropped one. Tom Segura just dropped one. I love Anthony Jeselnik. I love Chris Rock. I'm leaving guys out. Bill Burr.
Yeah.
There's some great comics out there. I'm leaving a lot of guys out.
Hart's stand-ups? Do you like those?
He's not in my top 10, but I like them. He's not in my top 10, though.
I don't think
Eddie Murphy, though it's old school.
For sure. Eddie Murphy Raw?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Oh, man, I remember that.
I watched his documentary recently, like Being Eddie. It's really, really good on Netflix.
I know you were a big fan of the Shane Gillis special.
Gillis is another one. I knew I was leaving. He's like might be my favorite right now. I love Shane Gillis.
When he was going to the like the Civil War reenactment or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Hello there, sir.
Oh, and when he was doing I Hate Alabama Football, and he went into that whole thing. He's like, yeah, watch this documentary on Alabama football. And they were celebrating Bear Bryant for, like, you know, desegregating the team. And then you learn it was 1972. Like, a little late for high fives on this one, guys.
Oh, my goodness. You mentioned Eddie Murphy, and you throw out how you think I look a little bit like Nate Burleson, and I agree.
Yes, you do.
If you ever want to know what my dad looks like, just look at Eddie Murphy. Down to the gap and everything.
Better looking like Charlie Murphy.
We got that like a few times. I remember we'd be out at eating or whatever. People thought that my dad. I kid you not. I swear.
You get all these stares like, is that him?
So that's what my pops look like.
You got the earring in the left ear too.
He's not no earrings, no tats. But yeah, the gap, the kind of mustache. Like that's my dad, man. Eddie Murphy. That's for sure. Shout out.
How did your parents feel about your tats when you first got them?
I'll never forget the conversation I had with my because I was kind of like breadcrumbing them along, like, hey, I'm going to do this. And I could just feel their energy was like, nah. Like,
so you had to give them a warning just so that it wasn't like, hey, look at me.
The week I turned 18, I was like, it's done.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I just, what did I do? My left half sleeve, that was my first one. I got that like a couple weeks after I turned 18.
You don't wear short sleeves, so I've never seen it.
Yeah, no. So I got two half sleeves and I got a big old lion on my left calf. And I want to do a whole leg sleeve, but they were not in favor of it, but I always promised them. All my tattoos, you will never be able to see. I can cover them all up. No neck tats, no face tats, nothing crazy like that. Just so you know, I wanted to at least give them that. But yeah, initially out of the gate, they were not rocking with it at all. At all. There's Tell the Truth for today.
And I don't know what your hair looks like either.
You know, I got some waves under here. I'm making sick. Got some 360s under this thing. Bids, appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you.
Thanks,
man,
for coming in. TLC, great job on the board. Folks, we love you as always. Happy holidays to you. Hey, you missed anything from our show, catch up via the podcast. Just type in Rothman and Ice. Everything we do will be waiting there for you. Bet365 is the sponsor. Common Man and Timmy coming up next. No Common Man. Jen in for Common Man. They'll take you to 6 o'clock. We're Rothman and Ice right here on the Fan.
No hot takes. No dancing. Plenty of stupid. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
We got a higher home appraisal after we put away our African art and family photos.
Has this happened to you because of race or national origin? Contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. A message from HUD and the National Fair Housing Alliance.